The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, February 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Pennsylvania man who was wanted on attempted murder charges was killed after opening fire on two fugitive task force officers in Baltimore on Wednesday. The officers, one a Baltimore County detective and the other a detective in the city of Baltimore, were both assigned to the Capital Area Regional Fugitive Task Force and were trying to serve a warrant out of Pennsylvania for attempted murder, said U.S. Marshals Service spokesman. The suspect is 33-year-old Michael Marullo of Scranton, who was wanted on a slew of charges, including attempted homicide. The suspect has not officially been identified by police in Baltimore. On Tuesday night, Marullo allegedly discharged his weapon during a verbal argument on the 1300 block of Summit Avenue in Lower Chichester Township. No one was injured, but U.S. Marshals received information that Marullo was in Baltimore and tipped off investigators. On Wednesday, authorities in Maryland found him and a shootout ensued. The suspect was fatally shot, but police haven't released information on who shot him. One officer was shot in the leg, the other in the stomach. One of the officers had surgery, and both are awake but still in very serious condition. Mm-hmm. A Pennsylvania man was charged with DUI for the seventh time after driving the wrong way on the Media Bypass in Delaware County, according to Upper Providence Township Police.
When was this?
It was a little while ago, but Kate, it was, I think, on Tuesday. But Case, don't worry, he's from Berks County. He was just in Delaware County driving. Authorities said this is the case. It's another blatant example of why Deanna's Law, which aims to crack down on repeat DUI offenders, needs to pass in the state. Police said the Berks County man, identified as 41-year-old Johnny Paul Martinka III, was driving the wrong way on the heavily traveled section of Route 1, where traffic often goes well beyond the posted speed limit of 55 miles per hour.
Well, I was on that road four different times on Saturday, you know, and every single time I had at least one child with me. Like, people like this guy, they piss me off so bad. Like, dude,
yeah, I mean,
get
they
your
said it could,
s together,
it
man.
Could have been a disaster, but yeah. Fortunately, so there was an officer that was right there, and that's kind of why it was diverted. But at about 9:30 on Tuesday, 9:30 in the evening, police said the driver of the Ford F-250 was traveling southbound in the northbound lanes. Upper Providence police officer Scott Ellis happened to be entering the northbound ramp when he saw the truck coming his way. He activated his emergency lights and siren, placed the vehicle in a diagonal blocking position, and the vehicle coming towards him had to stop abruptly. Police said Martika, the driver of the Ford, then attempted to get away, sideswiping the officer's car, but another patrol car was blocking him from going any further.
I'm trying to think of where he got on. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Because we used to be there all the time. That's where Y-100 yeah, back right. in the day is located off of that.
So. Yeah, so did he get on at 252? Is that what he was saying?
No, that didn't say where he got on.
Okay.
Police said that he was so heavily intoxicated, he thought that he was in Berks County trying to get to his welding job.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I wonder how people, you know, how this happened. He said seven times, right, for this guy?
So, yeah, so this is his seventh DUI in 10 years.
So years ago, a female comedian that was an up-and-comer when I just started doing stand-up, she was on the Long Island Expressway, head-on collision with a drunk guy going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that this guy had been arrested for the same thing in the same DUI and three times going the wrong way on a main thoroughfare.
Well, why is this guy not in jail? And listen, you know, my heart goes out to anybody who's suffering from substance abuse issues. But you know, this guy, get your act together because you're going to kill somebody.
See, he was also driving with a suspended license.
Why this guy needs to go to jail
yeah,
for like a long time.
In jail,
absolutely.
Knows?
Yeah.
Deanna's Law, which is pending in Harrisburg, would require repeat DUI offenders to wear continuous alcohol monitors known as CAMs that would alert authorities when they start drinking again. Deanna's Law has already passed in the Senate. Now it's in the House waiting to be approved. Authorities across the state are urging residents to push their representative to pass this law once and for all. A scathing report came out yesterday involving the safety of food that we eat. Consumer advocates allege some supermarkets are failing to warn the public about food recalls. A scorecard by the Public Interest Research Group gives many chains a failing grade when it comes to warning customers about hazardous foods. The CDC estimates every year 48 million Americans contract a foodborne illness, resulting in 128,000 people being hospitalized. The consumer advocacy group, PIRG, says grocery stores should be the consumer's best recall notification system, but instead, they said that their study found that consumers must go on a nearly impossible scavenger hunt to learn if they've purchased contaminated food.
As a consumer, the best thing thing you can do is to not listen to the news and not watch any documentaries about how food is shipped or prepared. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be fine.
And they took a look at the recall policies for 26 of the nation's largest supermarkets, including in-store and direct consumer notification programs. The consumer advocacy group did not look at all of the big chains in our area, but they did give a grade F to 84% of the supermarkets that it did score. Jeez. But the National Grocers Association says companies have improved on the recall response time and on the communication, meaning products are being pulled off of the shelves faster. If you go to PIRG's website, you can check the list of stores and how they graded them. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Both the Sixers and the Flyers were off last night, and the Sixers will be off for another week for the NBA All-Star break. They return to action on Thursday with a game in Brooklyn against the Nets. The Flyers, who are looking to bounce back from the tough loss against the Islanders on Tuesday night, return to the ice tonight with a game in South Florida against the Panthers. The puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock. And last night on the main line, the Villanova Wildcats retired the jersey of Ryan Arcidiacono. Before the game, he tweeted, "Honestly, still doesn't feel real. The school I grew up dreaming of playing at is going to retire my jersey. Just can't believe it. Such an honor." The number 15-ranked Wildcats then went on to beat number 18-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles. Colin Gillespie had 14 points and hit a three-pointer with just over 2 minutes remaining. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl had 17 points and 11 rebounds, and Villanova held on for a 72-71 win to end a three-game losing streak. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We're filled to the gills with stuff and giveaways this morning, and we are happy you're going to be a part of it. A few people stopping by today. We're going to have comedian John Doerr in our studio. He's performing at Helium Comedy Club. We'll spend some time with him. We also have, from a show, a Netflix program, 6 episodes, by the way, for Restaurants on the Edge, and we have Nick Liberato,
who Liberato will be
here this morning. Yeah,
it's a cool name.
Then we also have someone we had just heard about via a text, and we did a shout out. She won an Oscar the other night and is from Phoenixville.
Yeah.
And will be in our studio. Colleen Grogan will be here, and she is one of the creative minds behind learning to skateboard in a war zone if you're a girl.
I watched it last night. It's about 40 minutes long. Preston, you and Casey especially should watch this movie because it's about these young girls. You both have daughters, and it will be very moving to you. It's,
okay.
I can't recommend it more highly.
Excellent.
The only issue is where to watch it right now because it's a short documentary that was released in limited release. So we'll figure out from Colleen when we have her on where you can actually see it.
Even better yet, Preston, she just got a big promotion, and she's producing TV shows. So she's working with Ellen, so we should schmooze her big time.
Well, we'll do that. Yeah. And then she'll be by in the 9 o'clock hour. And speaking of the 9 o'clock hour, we have a chance for you to win $500 Amex gift card.
Whoa.
If you watched Dr. Oz yesterday, we'll have a question. And the whole thing surrounding all of this, all-encompassing during our program today, Duncan Spread the Love Caravan.
Oh, yes.
With Dr. Love himself, Pierre Robert.
Unbelievable.
Will be... Well, he's supposed to be here in 15 minutes.
I just got off the phone with him.
Shut up.
He was standing. He was standing. He was brushing his teeth.
I'm amazed.
He was moving forward. Now, I asked him.
Was he brushing his teeth or was someone holding his hand and moving it up and down?
Steve, I've made this phone call many times over the years.
Yeah, I know.
And the first question you ask after you are you standing is, are you lying to me?
Yeah.
But he assured me that he is actually in motion.
Because who can conduct the caravan better than he?
Right. Nobody. And we had solicited for businesses who have on-site, work sites,
yes.
I should say. And we're going to send out the Big Duncan Caravan of Love with Pierre this morning for those who might need a break and a little bit of love as we're right on the cusp of Valentine's Day. So he is going to be heading out with the crew from Duncan with coffee and donuts and all kinds of really good stuff. So we'll give you the rundown of where he's going to be, and we'll check in with him as we spread the love. And you can look for the Duncan Community Cruiser serving free samples of delicious Duncan coffee at community events all over the greater Philadelphia region. So we will do that through the course of the morning today, too. And we have other stuff to give away to sprinkle throughout the broadcast. So why don't we take a much-needed break, come back in just a moment, and a stupid question with some entertainment reports for you. That's on the way next. We'll keep you company this morning. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we're going to ask a stupid question this morning, and we are going to give away a pair of movie tickets from Fandango if you can answer this question. Which animated Disney princess is the only princess with dimples?
The only princess with dimples.
215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you are perceptive and know this answer. Which animated Disney princess is the only princess with dimples? 215-263 WMMR. Casey wrote down an answer that is incorrect. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see if somebody can get this correct. All right, so birthdays today. Thursday, February 13th. I'm going to start with the biggest one in the world of music, former Genesis frontman and incredibly talented musician, Mr. Peter Gabriel, turned 70 years old.
Big 7-0 today. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
He super is, talented.
He's amazing. Just all the way around. Never seen him live.
I have a couple times. And the last time I saw him, Preston, was when they were playing the entire So album. And it was great. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I was in the emergency room that night. I was supposed to go see that one.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Man, he's the consummate performer. Has done a whole bunch of weird, you know, in the early days of Genesis, he would come out of like as a crab and stuff.
Yeah, he'd wear outrageous costumes.
Yeah, outrageous things.
Yeah.
In fact, Casey, he was doing the haircut you did at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah.
The old guy. In fact, there's a picture. Years before it was fashionable, he shaved the receding hairline thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
What a talent. Surrounded himself with some incredible musicians over the years and has written some really beautiful songs.
It's weird because I didn't know Genesis back then. I only knew the Phil Collins Genesis,
right,
which was like a little bubblegummy, and I love it. But his version of Genesis was like...
Well, they were
really
they were prog rock.
Very prog rock.
They did conceptual stuff. But even after Peter left, I get it. Genesis stayed with it for a little while.
You're exactly right.
And then they slowly morphed over the years, which is kind of the pattern for a lot of bands.
Yeah,
they will do that. But
you're right, Preston. They had a good run continuing with the prog rock stuff. And then what they had was a guy who sounded almost exactly like Peter Gabriel.
Almost identical. Yeah. It was incredible. And they had actually auditioned tons of people before Phil just said, you know, I'll try it if you want.
And,
and
it
worked.
What
they got out of crazy.
Incredible. So.
This album, the double live album, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, Case, is phenomenal from beginning to end.
Happy birthday to Peter Gabriel, 70 years old. I'm sure Pierre will do some special tributes today. Also another birthday in the world of music and decidedly different than Peter Gabriel, Mr. Henry Rollins has his birthday today. He is 59 years old. I'm a big fan of Henry. His more so just his stand-up, or not his stand-up, but his spoken word stuff.
Yeah.
He gave up the music years and years ago. He doesn't do that anymore. There are a couple things I like from Henry Rollins. Never really got into Black Flag, but his spoken word stuff, it's amazing because he will talk nonstop for a good, you know, hour and a half, and he works pretty much every single day. He
does not
take breaks. He goes show after show after show after show after show, and every single show is different. He doesn't do a standard monologue.
No,
he
that's just, pretty amazing.
He changes it up. I couldn't believe it when I read that.
Right.
But he's
kind of a renaissance guy.
He's this guy that's just full of ideas constantly, and he's really talented in that regard.
I thought one of the, we're big fans of people who are very self-deprecating, and he was talking about getting rid of all these albums that he thought they weren't cool when he was a kid, and then going back to the record store years later and buying them all back.
Yeah, he's 59 today. Happy birthday to Henry Rollins. Maina Suvari, the actress, a couple of the American Pie movies and American Beauty. And then she kind of fizzled out for a bit, but she resurfaces from time to time. She's still working today. She is 41 years old.
Jerry Springer.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's now a judge, Preston.
Does he have a show yet?
Yeah, it's, he's judge. He's Judge Jerry.
Oh, goodness.
I don't think he was ever actually, he was a lawyer, but I don't think he ever made, you know, the position of judge.
Yeah, he's 76 today. It's also Stockard Channing's birthday.
Whoa!
Bite the weenie, Riz.
Wet relish.
76 years old. She was 30-something when she played the high school student.
She was actually 70, Preston.
Was she 70? Okay.
Outlandishly too old, but it worked because everyone was older.
Just a few weeks ago, it was on the weekend, and my daughter decided she wanted to watch Grease.
She'd never seen it?
No.
Wow.
So we sat down, and it's the first time I've watched a movie from beginning to end, and I couldn't tell you how long.
Right.
And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Was she digging it?
She liked it, too.
Wow.
She liked it a lot. Because the songs are great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of the dirty stuff went over her head, and that's fine.
Right, yeah.
But it was cool to watch. And I, for the first time since maybe I saw it in the movie theater, I sat through the entire portion of this. This song right here. And I have since come to appreciate Riz's stance.
And you remember the lesson we learned. If you want to get a guy, be a whore.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
This was a tune out for me, as well as Beauty School Dropout.
Yeah,
I never really, yeah, yeah.
I love Beauty School Dropout.
Really?
I know, you always say that.
I love it. I think it's hilarious. Stockard Channing is 76 today. George Segal, great actor.
Love him.
Currently on the Goldbergs.
And he's great on the Goldbergs.
And as the grandfather.
Just Shoot Me, he was great on. He has a list of great, great movies he's been in. And in fact, sometimes, Preston, when they talk about his war years on the Goldbergs, they'll just grab snaps from some of the war movies he's been in.
That's right? Hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I would love to live life the way he does on the Goldbergs with those outfits. They look like the most comfortable clothing you could possibly, and he just doesn't care.
Yeah, putting the leisure in leisure wear.
Yeah.
He's 86. Steve Kim Novak from Vertigo.
Yes.
Is 87 years old.
Classic looking Alfred Hitchcock actress. You know, the porcelain skin, blonde. She was very attractive.
Yep. American hero Chuck Yeager also celebrates his birthday today.
How old?
He's 97 years old.
You know, there's a certain symmetry to having him have his birthday the same day Jerry Springer does. Two American heroes.
You know, I didn't even put that together.
I mean, think about two people who have propelled this country forward in so many ways.
Yeah, groundbreakers.
And the risk that Jerry Springer, took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, trying to do a judge show. He's never done that before. But, yeah, if you want to see, I think, the definitive or read the right stuff, either read it or see the movie, and you'll get an incredible appreciation for freaking Chuck Yeager.
I'd also like to read his biography. My dad read it and said it was fantastic.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. First man to break the sound barrier, 97 years old today, Chuck Yeager. Then the last birthday is Prince Michael Jackson.
Okay.
He is 23 years old today.
Wow.
And I know, right? God.
For all outward appearances, a pretty well-adjusted guy. Yeah. He seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Was he the oldest?
I think so.
I thought Paris was, but I may be wrong. You're probably right.
Prince Michael Jackson, Paris, and
Blanket.
Blanket.
Which I don't know Blanket's right. real name. So I was thinking about that this morning.
Who was he hanging out the balcony when he was? Was it Blanket?
I thought that was Blanket. Yeah. Blanket.
Did you guys ever watch Bear in the Big Blue House? Anybody who ever watched?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was
a
song in that show, "Under My Blanket." Do you remember that at all?
No.
Oh my God. So I mean, we're going back like 20 years ago. But yeah.
Okay.
All right. Never mind.
That just remind you.
Yes.
That remind you.
It just
Blanket?
Reminds me of Chuck Yeager.
Another true American hero.
Yeah.
Wait.
Under
so.
My blankie.
Do you have a piece of Beeman's and a blue blankie?
Loan me one. I'll pay you back later. What, Kath?
So. Whose birthday do you have today?
Paris.
No,
I'm sorry,
Blanket.
Prince Michael Jackson.
So Prince Michael Jackson's birthday is not until February 21st.
Remember there were two princes?
Today it's just Michael Joseph Jackson.
No. Oh, Preston's right. They're both named Prince.
There was
Prince.
What? Prince?
Yeah, there's Prince Michael I and Prince Michael II.
Okay. Oh, so Prince Michael II is Blanket.
Yeah.
Oh.
There we go. We got to the bottom.
My blanket! My blue blanket! Give me my blue blanket! Oh, yeah, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no
I'm sorry. I don't like people touching my blue blanket. It's not important. It's a minor compulsion. I can deal with it if I want to. It's just that I've had it ever since I was a baby, and I find it very comforting.
Well, we'll have to find out when Blanket's birthday is and play that again. So.
It's the 21st, so...
Oh, really?
It's right around the corner.
Let's get ready.
Yeah.
I want to play the beginning of that again.
My blanket! My blue blanket! Give me my blue blanket!
All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this question. Which animated Disney princess is the only princess with dimples? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we will go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Good morning. Melissa, why?
Good morning.
I don't know.
Hi, Melissa. What is your answer?
Princess Tiana?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh. Who is that? I don't know that
from
princess.
Princess and the Frog, yeah.
That's correct, yep. All right, hang on, Melissa. We are going to give you a pair of movie tickets from Fandango. Everybody loves a trip to the movies. Don't get stuck in line for a sold-out show on Valentine's Day. Reserve your seats with Fandango, and you can do that now and feel the love. Head to Fandango.com/get tickets, all right? We're going to start with this. Snoop Dogg has officially apologized to Gayle King. He had kind of half-assed on it. Now he's officially done it. He said, two wrongs don't make no right.
He's right. Two wrongs don't make no right.
Yeah, when you're wrong, you got to fix it. He said this in an Instagram video.
Gayle King, you're the shiznit.
He's been blasting King since she conducted an interview with WNBA player Lisa Leslie last week that touched on the legacy of late Kobe Bryant and had asked about his 2003 rape charge. In response, Snoop Dogg set off a firestorm on Instagram, referencing his anger toward King. But he had wrapped up that particular statement by saying, respect the family and back off, bitch, before we come and get you.
God.
Snoop clarified his comments more defensively over the weekend, insisting that he didn't threaten King, saying that he was very nonviolent and spoke from the heart. But on Wednesday, he offered a more heartfelt, nuanced apology. He said, Gayle King, I publicly tore you down by coming at you in a derogatory manner based off of emotions about me being angry about questions that you asked. I overreacted, should have handled it in a different, way different than that. I was raised way better than that. And he said, so I would like to apologize to you publicly for the language that I used and calling you out and just being disrespectful. I didn't mean to be like that. I was just expressing myself for a friend who wasn't here to defend himself. Hopefully we can sit down and talk privately.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
I guess so. But don't say you were raised way better than that. Have you listened to your album, Doggy Style? You were not raised way better than that.
Right.
Well,
I mean, listen to Doggy Style. Yep. Listen to the lyrics of that entire album.
The shiznit is all relative.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm sure they're going to have a high level powwow very soon.
King received backlash for the interview clip on the internet, and several celebrities, including rapper 50 Cent, had voiced support for Snoop Dogg's sentiment. In a two-part video posted to Twitter last week, King discussed the controversy, pointing fingers at the network for releasing the Bryant question as a standalone clip. She said, if I had only seen that clip that you saw, I'd be extremely angry with me, too. I'm mortified, I'm embarrassed, and I'm very angry. Unbeknownst to me, my network put up a clip from a very wide-ranging interview, totally taken out of context. And when you see it that way, it's very jarring.
Steve, were you saying that he should go on with Gayle King?
No, I'm joking. I was just saying that that would be...
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe it would be. I have not seen this full interview, though. And it's my understanding that question came... there was a whole bunch of Kobe love, and then it was just an aspect of it. And I think, honestly, her original story, Gayle King's original story, that CBS excised that small portion and put it out...
Yeah.
And it was the issue. That set off the firestorm.
And it wasn't even a very pointed question either. It was just a general question.
Do you think?
Yeah. So, but it was, it was fairly soon after the tragedy and people were still,
processing.
Yeah, it was still a lot of raw nerves. So, but they should have not just taken that tiny little bit. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez may have bought a home of their very own. Bezos is the new owner of a 13,000-square-foot Beverly Hills mansion. The home, which was originally designed for Warner Brothers Studios executive Jack Warner in the 1930s, features two guest houses, a tennis court, a swimming pool, and a nine-hole golf course as well. Bezos reportedly paid film producer David Geffen $165 million for the estate, which makes it the most expensive home ever sold in California.
We were just talking about the estate that was the house they would use for the Beverly Hillbillies.
They were looking at that.
Right.
Actually, Bezos and Sanchez's house hunting was a hot topic among high-end L.A. real estate brokers. The iconic Chartwell Estate, as you had mentioned, Steve, best known for being featured in the opening credits of the Beverly Hillbillies, was among the properties that Bezos and Sanchez reportedly toured. That property has since been purchased by fellow billionaire Lachlan Murdoch, the son of News Corp founder Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch paid approximately $150 million for the estate, making it the most expensive home ever sold in Los Angeles. This other one that Bezos bought is the most expensive in California.
Unbelievable. $165 million.
Bezos and his girlfriend are also rumored to have toured Casa Encantada.
That's the Mario Lopez estate.
A 40,000-square-foot estate in Bel Air. That mansion features a guest house, a pool house, a basketball court, a tennis court, greenhouses, a rose garden, and koi ponds, all with restored 1930s finishings.
Man.
Casa Encantada has an asking price of $225 million, making it the most expensive property currently on the market in the United States, but that hasn't moved at all.
Who was the former owner of that one?
I don't know.
Casa Enchilada?
Encantada.
Okay.
A representative for that house did not respond to Business Insider's request for comment on Bezos' interest in the property.
Welcome to Casa Enchilada. That is some serious loot. So, and right now, I mean, that $165 million estate, it's just them, right? Just the two of them in their house?
Yeah, yeah. Keep in mind, $225 million for Casa Encantada is almost a quarter of $1 billion for a house. For a place to call your own.
Unbelievable.
What does he fart out in interest?
It's crazy. There was a stat a couple weeks ago that within 15 minutes during 1 week, he had made an additional $8 billion.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
If you guys ever seen the movie Real Genius?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know when there's a guy that comes out of the closet,
Laszlo,
and then disappears, and the kid's not sure if he really saw him or not?
Yeah.
Did Pierre just come in here and walk back up?
Yeah.
A moment ago?
That was Pierre. It was not a Sasquatch sighting.
Yeah. He was right over here, right?
He was right there. Yeah.
And I heard a few clunky things, but I was in the middle of a story.
Do you want him back?
He was going through some twigs, and he was eating some berries.
Oh, now he's gone.
Yeah. He's in the Xfinity Lounge, and now he's working his way back.
There he is.
By the way, Preston.
Laszlo.
That's my new name for him now. Did you know that Laszlo is Uncle Rico?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah.
I think I heard him saying, I would love to do more.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. Oh. The hell is Laszlo?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a rare occurrence for you folks listening at before 7 a.m. live on the radio in the studios at One Bala Plaza. Pierre Robert is right here live for possibly the first time ever.
The waves of love are coming from you right now.
Oh,
it's
I can
so
feel
intense.
It. It's like heat. Yes. I can feel it.
The energy.
Yeah.
You owe me big time.
Oh, my God.
God love you.
I have given everything for this show. My life's blood, the essence of my being.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it again.
Look at those eyes.
Precious.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
I don't go to bed before 2:30 or 3, so I got 2 hours of sleep, and that's all I need.
Did you really go to bed that late last night?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't.
Oh,
but
my
God. I tried to go to bed early. Well, no, I went to bed at 2. I'm sorry. It was early.
Oh, my God.
You're like Renee Zellweger. Your eyes are just so...
I feel like Renee Zellweger.
This morning, I
feel more like Judy Garland.
Listen, this morning, I just finished the audiobook of The Old Man and the Sea this morning while I was coming
in. Talking about
you are Santiago dragging his mast to the hut to go to sleep.
Who's Santiago? I'll take the 7th caller.
He's the old man.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome, man.
Where are we going? What am I doing?
We're going to three places.
Why am I here?
Yeah, it's a good question.
What's that Admiral? What's his name?
How did all these people get in my room?
How did all these people? One of the best lines, Sinatra and whenever any of the Rat Pack would be together, If Frank was on stage, all of a sudden Dean would come on wheeling a cart of booze and ice bucket and glasses and heading straight towards Frank, and the crowd would applaud, and Dean would, in a shocked look, turn to the right and go, "How'd all these people get in our room?"
Yep. Every time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. You are headed to three locations with the Duncan Caravan of Love.
That's it.
You're going to head to CSG, telecommunications company in Conshohocken.
Okay.
Then you're headed to an undisclosed location. Some of these businesses actually don't even want any real press, or they don't want any mentions. But they just want to get the love, and they're going to get it this morning. So we have a woman named Hetty. You're going to go visit, and where's Hetty? She's in Malvern.
She's in Malvern. Yeah, she's in the corporate center, and she's a huge fan of MMR. 67 years old, been listening her whole life. She's so excited to have us come out today.
Okay.
And then you're headed to the
Hetty. I'm heading your way.
Then you're headed
to the thrill. I mean,
Jesus freaking Christ!
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. What?
Well, you just keep interrupting me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Then you're headed. Thanks for coming in.
Go ahead.
Haverford YMCA.
The third one.
It's where you're headed to.
YMCA?
That's the one.
Call me the village people.
That's
I'm
right.
Heading over.
I'm
the Indian.
That's a really nice one, isn't it, Case?
I'm Haverford. A construction worker.
It's a new one.
New
one. Yeah, I was going to say the newest one, but actually the newest one is up in Upper Montgomery County. But anyway, it's my Annabelle. No, it's my personal Y that I like to go to. Yeah.
You do your swimming there?
I do my swimming there. Right. I do my elliptical there.
I, for one, am incredibly excited about how this is going to turn out. Yes. And if you want, grab a snooze in the back of the vehicle taking you over there.
Yeah, you don't have to drive from
here.
We got a crew taking you. We got
acclimated drivers?
We do have acclimated drivers, okay. And we got the Duncan Caravan.
But we need to get you on the road now so we can make sure we get to all the locations.
Ready, rock.
All right.
Ready, rock.
You, Preston.
Get out of here, kid.
Let's go, Preston.
All right, we'll see you. Pierre Robert, ladies and gentlemen. Give his music again, please, if you would, because that's, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Pierre Robert, oh my God.
All put together.
Headed out with the Duncan.
Goodbye.
Spread the love caravan.
Oh, my God.
It looks like one of those powerful stories on HBO where a caregiver is sending someone off at the airport and you'll make it.
Yep. All right. Do you want some other entertainment stories?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't wait to hear the first report from the location.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
He'll be awake and ready to go by then.
All right.
A new Jonas kid is heading our way. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas are expecting the first child together.
This is exciting news.
The pair attended the Grammy Awards together in January. They were spotted out and about recently in London with a baggy sweatshirt.
Ooh, they just
two of them in a baggy sweatshirt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't even believe it.
They're just like us. I wear baggy sweatshirts sometimes, Preston.
The 23-year-old Game of Thrones alum Sansa Stark and 30-year-old singer married in a surprise Las Vegas ceremony in May of 2019 after the Billboard Music Awards and then again at Chateau de Tour in Sarians, France over the summer. They were first linked in 2016 and made their red carpet debut 2 years later. Kevin and Danielle Jonas share two daughters, and Nick and Priyanka Jonas, who married, in 2018, do not have any kids as of yet. So they got one on the way. That's nice. I also think this is nice. Rick Moranis will make his long-awaited return to acting with a role in the upcoming reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Really?
Moranis will return to the Disney franchise and the big screen in general for the first time since 1997.
His story is very impressive, yeah. It was a fun movie, and I've always loved Rick Moranis, but when his wife passed away, he took time off, walked away from the industry to take care of his kids.
Yep.
That's pretty wild.
Titled Shrunk, the reboot will star Josh Gad as the son of Moranis' inventor, Wayne Szalinski. And Moranis signed on to reprise his role in some capacity in the upcoming film. Joe Johnston, the director of the 1989 Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, will helm the reboot. This is his first on-screen movie in over 23 years as he left the movie industry, as Steve was saying, following the death of his wife to breast cancer. His last on-screen role was that year's direct-to-video sequel, Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. He opted instead to raise his children out of the spotlight, but he continued to do voice work for animated films over the past two decades. In 2015, after Ghostbusters co-stars signed on to Cameo in the reboot of that franchise. He explained his decision to skip out on the semi-reunion. He said, I took a break, which turned into a longer break. But I'm interested in anything that I would find interesting. I love that line.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it.
I still get the occasional query about a film or television role, and as soon as one comes along that piques my interest, I'll probably do it. But Ghostbusters didn't appeal to me.
He actually did a voiceover for the Goldbergs, Preston, when they did the Spaceballs episode.
Yeah.
And so in a dream sequence, Adam goes to sleep, and then when he wakes up, Dark Helmet comes into his room. Now, he wasn't playing Dark Helmet, but he provided the voice for him.
At the time, Moranis, who also starred in beloved films like Spaceballs, Little Giants, A Little Shop of Horrors, also foresaw the fourth Honey, I Shrunk the Kids sequel, although he didn't express an interest in appearing in it. He said it's hard to come up with the original material. Occasionally they get it right, or else they wouldn't attempt to do these things. I'm surprised that Disney hasn't done Honey, I Shrunk the Grandkids. But I'm happy that with the things I said yes to, and I'm very happy with the many things I've said no to. Yes, I am picky, and I'll continue to be picky. Picky has worked for me.
Wasn't this, so the sequel, there was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and then the second one was Honey, I Blew Up the
blew
Baby?
Up the, well, no,
I blew up the baby.
But the line was Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, but it was I think I Blew Up the Kids.
I thought something. It was, yeah.
Yeah, but he had, when he calls her, he says, Honey, I Blew Up the Baby. So yeah, they did a couple of versions of
the quality dropped off dramatically, but the first one I really love.
Yeah, it's called Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
All right.
So he's back at it, which is great. That's awesome. Shanna Doherty is opening up about her battle with stage 4 breast cancer. The 90210 star took to Instagram to thank her fans for supporting her and said that she's been struggling to find her footing. Capturing a shot of herself riding a horse across a beautiful landscape, she wrote, I want to thank all of you for your love, prayers, and support. It's an odd time right now, and I find my feet not completely underneath me. She also said, to say I have stress is an understatement. To say that I'm struggling is mild, but I believe that I will find my footing. I'll dig deep for the inner strength. I need to face it all. And I pray I do it with dignity and grace. She concluded the post saying, I have so much to say, so much to share. I will. For now, please know how much you all help lift me.
Wow.
Her breast cancer went into remission in 2017.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it came back. She was diagnosed about a year ago and decided to speak out after a court case with her insurance company that detailed her health concerns threatened to make her battle public. So she came out with that
information. That's tough.
Yeah. Let me see. How about this one? Jamila Jamil is lashing back at critics who are accusing her of fabricating health issues. The 33-year-old Good Place actress responded to viral social media posts claiming that she has Munchausen syndrome or fictitious disorder. Both involve feigning health issues to get attention. The criticism also follows blowback that she got from coming out as queer on Twitter. Naysayers are pointing out what they believe are discrepancies in past interviews she's given about suffering injuries in car accidents and other maladies. She wrote on Twitter, first, I'm not lying about my sexuality. She was stating this. First, I'm lying about my sexuality. Now I'm being accused of Munchausen's by an unhinged idiot who didn't realize in all her research that my car accident injury stories are different because they were about two separate car accidents 13 years apart. In a follow-up, she tweeted that she suffers from Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
What's that?
Which affects connective tissues, including skin, joints, and blood vessels. She explained the lesser-known condition makes people doubt your illness and injuries because you look okay, even though you have it. She has been open about other scares, too, including concern over cancer, experiences with mercury poisoning, and seizures as well.
And she claims to have a peanut allergy as well.
Does she?
Yep.
Okay. Well, there's just people are just saying she complains about a lot, I guess, and they think maybe now she's making it up, but she's saying that ain't the case.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. Kate Middleton popped up in Northern Ireland for an unannounced visit. She went there to meet with locals about her new mission to support early childhood development.
It's hard to have an unannounced visit when this music starts playing when you walk in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was trying to sneak in here.
She toured a farm in New Townards called...
New Townards.
Okay, all right.
Come on.
Called the Ark Open Farm, and spoke to local parents and grandparents about their experiences raising young children.
So it's difficult to raise children younger, and then they get larger, and they'll grow out of their various clothing that we purchase for them. And then, of course, you feed them and send them to school. Well, good visit. I'll see you later.
The farm has a number of play and enrichment activities for children.
Go play with the cow.
Mm. After throwing a rager for her 50th, Jennifer Aniston opted to keep her 51st birthday party smaller and more intimate. She hit West Hollywood Sunset Tower Hotel and for a dinner with her close circle of friends, people reports.
Was Brad Pitt there?
Oh! No. Well, if he was, they left him out of the story, which I can't imagine why they would leave him out of the story. She did post some pictures. Steve and I were looking at them yesterday. She looks amazing.
These are recent photos?
These are recent photos.
Yeah, she's
51.
Crap.
Yeah. She looks phenomenal.
I'll be there for you.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, man. Those two words apply.
Among the attendees were Courtney Cox, jewelry designer to the stars Jennifer Mayer.
And Chuck Yeager.
Chuck Yeager.
It's his birthday today.
Yeah. Right? Mayer.
No, writer-producer Molly McNierney. So it was a great 51st birthday party.
It must have been. I, all the uphill battles she's had.
It was very low-key. So.
Yeah. I mean, remember, she was. I told you, Preston, she was a question on Jeopardy the other night.
What was the question?
Her first starring role.
Yeah. And that was in Leprechaun.
Leprechaun. We're big fans of that
Leprechaun film.
Hey, look at the Leprechaun.
Yeah. And then, you know what? We'll just wrap it there, and we'll get into the... I'm ready for clips.
Yay.
I have some clips to play for you. Where the hell are they?
Where are they?
Nah, I got them. I thought they were Mr. Klimps, but they are not. let's go with this. In Katie Keene... A new spinoff of Riverdale. They have a spinoff of Riverdale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Katie Keene.
An aspiring fashionista moves to New York to chase her dreams. Here, star Lucy Hale discusses her level of familiarity with the comic series prior to accepting the role. Here we go.
I didn't know much about Katie Keene. I knew that she was like the it fashion girl. And I Googled a bunch of images before I went and met with them for the first time. And I guess it was really cool back in the 50s or whenever they first started to write for her, you could submit your designs and then Katie Keene would wear them in the comic, which I thought was really cool.
I don't think I want to see it.
Of course, she's incredibly good looking, as the entire cast of Riverdale is.
Yes. Katie Keene airs tonight. That's at 8 o'clock on the CW. We have the next clip. Oh, bring the volume up on that. A very tight-knit group of friends help a man embrace his new normal after the death of his wife in The Unicorn. In this clip, star Walton Goggins discusses the silly moments that can happen after someone overcomes a tragedy. Here we go.
His wife passed away and he has two daughters, and at first glance it wouldn't be funny, but pain and joy are infused with absurdity, and that's what life is. Life is funny in those moments.
The guy is actually very good. You know him from, he's been in a number of series. I think Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad, I think he was in. No, he was in Justified.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, Hateful Eight.
He's also in Django Unchained.
Yeah, so he's always playing kind of an evil guy, and in this, he's sort of a vulnerable guy, and it works.
Yeah, he's become a darling of Tarantino.
Yeah.
He was also in The Apostle, which is a pretty wild movie. He's in The Unicorn now, which airs tonight at 8:30 on CBS. And there you go.
Yeah.
That's the report for this morning. So we're all set to go. We got our rip-roaring correspondent, Pierre Robert. I've never seen him quite like that before.
He came in running. It was remind me, you know the comedian Rip Torn used to come in with the confetti?
Yeah.
And that's, he Mr. was excitement. Just unbelievably up. And he said to us, if you missed it, he said, I really realize I'm a morning person.
He does realize it now. So all you got to do is get up and get moving, and there you are. You realize you're a person you didn't even know you were.
You know what excites him, though? Spreading the love.
Yeah.
Spreading the Duncan love.
He will be doing that this morning. He's headed to a few different work sites today with the Duncan Caravan of Love, and going to make some people happy, so I'm sure he'll be excited. So the MM Army is going along with him. They'll be serving free samples of delicious Duncan coffee to help spread the love this Valentine's Day.
Do you think he can teen wolf on top of the vehicle as they pull into the construction site?
Do backflips.
Because he's got that hat on.
He's looking extra fuzzy today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. So we will we'll get him rolling here. Is this about that?
No, no, it's just a nice text to start the day.
Oh, good.
If you wanted to share it, I thought you could.
I'll just read it because I don't have time to read it without my lips moving. So sorry to bother you all at work. I just want to give a kudo or two to the Dunkin' in Cherry Hill at South Haverford and 70 for listening to you guys while I get my morning wake up. Talk about a rockin' start to the day. Duncan, Preston, and Steve and the mighty MMR.
Ah,
that's nice.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's nice. Oh, this is music from Teen Wolf. Yeah, it's when they do the wolf dance.
Yeah.
You sure don't look like your grandma.
That's how the song started.
You would know that. You would know that. All right, we're going to take a break. We have a number of guests on the program besides Caravan of Love, so we'll get ourselves prepared for all of that and be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us today.
93.3 WMMR presents a sold-out concert event. The original lineup of Live. Thursday, February 20th at the sold-out Excite Center at Parks Casino. Ed Kowalczyk, Chad Taylor, Patrick Dahlheimer, and Chad Gracie. Live rocks the house. All this week, Pierre Robert has free tickets and passes to meet the band. WMMR.com for complete details on Live's sold-out February 20th show at the Excite Center. From Parks Casino and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
So here we are, yes, day before Valentine's Day. And Steve, you're talking about Galentine's events.
Yes.
That are taking place. Galentine's Day. Yeah, you're doing that, right,
Kat? The
gals
getting together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did one last night. I did it last year and I did it again this year. It was at Autograph in Wayne, which is one of my favorite restaurants.
It's awesome. So what is the specific, what day, how many days prior to Valentine's Day is the official, unofficial Galentine's Day.
You know what? I don't know if there's an exact...
whenever you want, right?
I don't know
whenever
if there's an exact right. date, but it came from
Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if there's an exact date. It just... mine was yesterday.
Yeah, I asked my wife, I'm like, you're doing Galentine's Day? She's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't watch that show. I didn't know it was from that. I was kind of alerted to it through when I said yes to this event last year, and then Steve, you told me it was from Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, and it's taken off now. It has its own. It's become a thing now, and so much so, and you know when it's a thing because now bars and restaurants have Galentine's events.
Well, and they had, Mainline Fashionista, who is a friend of mine now.
Wow.
She was out last night and kind of like interviewing people, asking them what they're wearing, what their, you know, their fashion statement is. Like, they made it a big deal, and it was kind of fun.
Is there a male equivalent for a, because...
there used to be Steak and BJ Day.
Steak and BJ
still
Day.
Around.
Yeah.
We don't really bang the drum on that much anymore. But here, Steve, real quick, the quote from the show says, oh, it's the best day of the year, every February 13th.
Okay.
So today, my lady friends and I leave our husbands and boyfriends at home, and we just come and kick it. We kick it breakfast style. Ladies celebrating ladies. It's like Lilith Fair minus the angst plus, what does that say?
Frittatas.
Frittatas. Oh, so they do a breakfast that's from the show. But, okay. But it's more than that now. It's like going out.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
in the evening.
Yeah, I think now it's just kind of, another day for you to get together and do a girls' night.
So, I mean, original perception was that it was a thing for single women without, so we'll just go have a Galentine's Day. The hell with Valentine's Day. We're going to go do our own thing. But right. It doesn't matter, right? In fact, it's...
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So, and I guess it's fine. I'm going to try not to have a negative opinion about it. like Friendsgiving and stuff like that. Like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an event that, it's supposed to be for... I don't even know what the hell it's supposed to be for. But,
people without friends?
No. It's like a family event, but not everybody has a family that they love. So, and so this Galentine's Day thing.
Not everybody has a spouse they love.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Exactly. And what better way to let them know by going out to another event?
No, I always support getting together with your friends. I really do. So,
sure.
So I don't even know why I have a tinge of a negative emotion or thought about this.
I mean, like, why do you
this?
Care that much that you would hate Valentine's Day?
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll tell you why. Because it's just another thing that you didn't know about was a thing until it was a thing. And then you're like, oh. Well, at least me. Okay. I'm like, oh, shut up with that.
Well,
and
so,
like 2 years later, I'm the guy waving the banner going, yeah, yeah, let's do it.
The purge, let's do it.
Well, right. So no, now it's going to be a thing now that people are just going to make money off of. You know, it's going to be another marketing thing. So I guess
so that's part of your problem.
I don't know.
No, I understand. I think it's a knee jerk reaction, and so you're just being honest about it. But I think that part of my negative reaction to it, Casey, is mostly a negative reaction overall towards Valentine's Day. Like, I used to love it when I was a kid, and then in college it was painful because I never had a Valentine.
Yeah.
And now it's just like an obligatory thing. However, I'm going to autograph as well, Kathy. So I'm going out to dinner tomorrow night. And I love that restaurant. So for me, it's a nice excuse to go out to dinner, but. Preston, I was talking to you or heard you saying earlier in the week that, like, you and your wife have zero plans. And
it's great. We finally made an agreement ahead of time. I said, I'm just happy with a card. And she goes, let's just get each other cards. And I'm like,
that's great.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's nice.
Awesome.
And that's just sort of an expression between the two of you guys. And that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know.
You're doing Guylentine's Day, right?
Dudentine.
You know, yeah. Steve, Goldberg's like maybe, but it's Palentine's Day.
Palentine's Day.
Yeah, that's for dudes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
so, go out
better.
With your pals.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a, though, I think of all the holidays, is not Valentine's Day the one that is mostly perceived as the construct of the card companies?
Yeah, almost.
Of the greeting card companies, that it really was nothing as big as it currently is prior to Hallmark's intervention.
I don't think it existed until they made. It might not have been Hallmark specifically, but I did look the history up, and it does have its,
something, right?
Its ties in that. Marissa?
Well, so on that note, my girlfriends and I did our Galentine's Day last night, and last year we had went to a new restaurant. There was like 30 of us. It was fancy and whatever. Instead, last night we volunteered at Mana.
Okay.
Really? That's very legit.
What did you guys do afterwards?
Actually, the chef at Mana cooked us dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. And so we all made donations to Mana, volunteered then, our time.
Yeah, you don't look it up afterwards.
You don't look like you went out last night. So I know that look.
You would look like Pierre looked this morning.
Right.
I'm trying to see if there's Galentine's Day cards, like if they've gone there yet.
I guarantee you there are.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when we do something here on the show, you know, we'll sort of create like an event or whatever out of thin air. And then our sales department's like, ooh, you're going to do this every single, like, spring or summer winter. Or when,
and it takes off.
And it takes off. But sales is like, ooh, that's what Galentine's Day is. That's what, like, all these, like, events are. Now, Friendsgiving, all this sort of stuff. Like, you know, all these people. And I guess that's fine. Like, you know, I just want our currency and, you know, like, all the markets to do well. And, you know, like.
You want the markets to do well. Now, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And Nick is right. And I'm a little bit the same way. If people are having fun and enjoying something, I get it.
Yeah.
There is a knee-jerk reaction that I think makes us, by our nature, go, what is this?
I know, you guys are so crazy
about it. And because, honestly, there's enough stuff to fill up the calendar already.
But you don't have to go to this one.
I know. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying is accurate.
She's right.
I don't know why.
But there's, like, my immediate reaction is, shut up with that. Yeah,
because I was involved, I guess, but it was fun. And yeah, there are people, I'm sure, making money off of it. You know, I mean, we spent money at the restaurant. Wait, but last night they had a spa that was there and they were dyeing everyone's eyebrows, which was great.
I got their eyebrows dyed.
Dying eyebrows is a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they call it tinting. Yeah, like what our friend Ashley does.
Let's work on this woman. She has a huge forehead.
Oh, man.
Stop it. Wait. So listen, hold on. So they did everybody's eyebrows and we go downstairs afterwards and we were having a glass of wine and we asked the waitress to take a picture of us. So she did. And, you know, everybody at the table was like, hey, send the girl's phone. It was on. Send it to us. So I get it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My eyebrows were so dark. I'm like, hold on.
I want to see that.
She looks like Pancho Villa.
Oh, no. Do you look like Frida?
Oh, my God.
No, that wasn't. So my eyebrows were so dark in this picture. But anyway, they did have things like that where you're dying eyebrows. And, you know, there was a bunch of vendors out there. The women went shopping and it was fun.
Do you know it's a lot of fun?
I'm sure it's fun. But I mean, you know, you just have to come up with something new. So then at the next, you know, get together party we have, let's do something like paint our ears. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we're having fun.
You know what's
painting
fun?
Painting our ears.
Drink alcohol out of Pringles cans. You should do that. Marissa and her friends are the most creative when they always do. And it's a good portion of it, but it is envy of having a collection of friends that get together and do stuff like that.
But it's kind of like, all right, so the little brother that's picked on is going to pick on somebody else. So the way I sort of look at it is maybe it's because the things that I enjoy doing, people have stuff to say about that. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, now's your time.
So now's my time. So like, listen,
you're stupid.
Whatever it is that I do, somebody has a negative, like, oh, that's dumb. I hate that. I hate you. Like, whatever it is.
Remember that they said that.
And I go, dude, I'm just having
Galentine's
fun.
Day.
I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just enjoying myself. And you want to get annoyed at that. So now it's my turn to go, you know what? That's dumb.
We need to go to therapy.
We do.
You and me, we need to go. And Steve, we all need to go to therapy.
We need
to talk to somebody.
Yes. If you break it down, and then sometimes, at least now I've reached a point in my life where I can throw on the brakes quick enough and say, it's just people having a good time.
I know.
Listen.
It's just people having a good time.
You guys, everybody has said that our show is like therapy, and it in a way it is because it's a venting session, and I totally get it. However, there's not a professional person responding to us. It's just us putting the diarrhea out of our mouths. Nobody's actually giving us salient advice afterwards. Yeah. So what we're doing is venting. True. We're not getting the advice back that we need.
For every summer.
Well, step two is a manifesto.
Yeah, every summer when I see all these people that I grew up in Delaware County wearing their cowboy hats and their frayed jean shorts going to the Kenny Chesney concert, and for some reason I'm getting all pissy about it.
Like, I know.
You need to talk to somebody.
Oh, so here's the worst
Not us.
I'm playing golf. And
golf? That's so stupid.
It's so dumb. No, but my friend has a speaker going, right? And this song comes on. I'm like, oh, man, I like this. What is this? He's like, it's Kenny Chesney. I'm like, no! Get it on.
Oh, yeah, he recorded it at the Galentine's Day Festival.
Yeah. So
maybe there you go, Kath. Here's the a card section at Target.
For Galentine's Day.
For Galentine's Day,
I saw it, yeah.
Done deal.
It's like Festivus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember,
People do it.
Yeah, they still do it. Here's somebody with a unique idea for Thanksgiving. It is Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hey guys, how are you?
So, wonderful. I should say an original idea for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Lisa.
So my friends and family were sitting around like around Christmas talking like how busy everything was. And we said, oh, Valentine's Day. We all hated it. So I said, we need to have another Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's fun. It's about food. So we decided we're getting together this weekend having Thanksgiving with family we couldn't see at Thanksgiving.
I love
because,
it.
You know, oh, you have to go to your mother-in-law, blah, blah, blah. So we're having Thanksgiving dinner this weekend.
I think that's a wonderful idea. That's a good way to do it. I think, Preston, on a level, Valentine's Day generates the most polarizing responses, you know?
You think so, of all the holidays?
I think it's...
I think you're probably right.
Am I right on that?
Yeah.
There are some
people that absolutely denounce it because it's a Hallmark holiday. It's a made-up holiday. It's forced to make you go out and spend money and profess your love, which you probably do anyway. And you're right. It's pretty divisive.
So what I did, obviously, and you know this, it's my anniversary as well. Yeah. So that it's the two birds at once. I got a legitimate reason.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like Valentine's Day, and I think it's, you know, I have positive memories of, you know, my dad coming home from work, and he had Valentine's Day, like, chocolates for all the kids. But then also, Nick, a lot like you, in college, I didn't have I didn't have girlfriends and stuff like that. And so now that I have somebody that I can, like, express my love to, I like it. So,
okay.
But
I
like it that. But my wife, on the other hand, like, she doesn't want all that.
Who's more romantic, you or your wife?
I just want to make you feel so good. Me.
That's romantic.
Okay.
You're romantic? Probably. You're more romantic.
She's more of a realist?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Yeah.
I don't love you. No. I in every relationship, I think there's You know, there's a, one who's a percentage more.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
My girlfriend hates this crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're just, but I like the fact that Valentine's is on a Friday this year. You know, it's a nice excuse to go out on a Friday night.
Sure.
We're not doing anything, though.
You're not doing anything?
No.
You want to come out with us?
Yeah. Can I please?
Yeah.
Everyone loves that third wheel on a Valentine's Day dinner.
Every time. Well, I'm sure.
Like, anyone going to finish this last roll?
No. So my wife, we're having like some work done around the house. So every time I ask her what you want to do, she's like, I want new floors. I'm like, okay. But seriously, what do you want for Valentine's Day? She's like, you know, I want new floors. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Well, you're getting new floors. You're not getting anything else except for maybe some chocolate, some Twizzlers, some cheese.
Yeah. Cheese.
That was the realization.
Valentine's Day cheese.
I came to yesterday.
She likes cheese.
She loves cheese.
You're gonna do a cheese bouquet.
Yeah.
All right.
So, by the way, speaking of being romance and going out on Valentine's Day and so forth, I did see a couple of stories that relate to that. According to a new study, the average parent has gone 3 years without having a romantic date.
That's a shame.
The results are based on the responses of 2,000 parents of children between the ages of 5 and 18. Over half of those polled said that they desire the freedom they had before becoming parents, while other parents miss specific activities like sleeping and traveling more frequently.
Enjoy.
On the upside, most of the parents said that they are happier and more fulfilled having children.
There you go.
But they just don't get to do the romantic things that much anymore.
I'll never forget the one that you did, Preston, with your date with your wife in the minivan in the garage. I thought that was so sweet and romantic, and you guys went out and had a glass of wine and watched a movie in the minivan.
Actually, yeah, it wasn't even in the garage. It was in the Outback Steakhouse parking lot.
There you go.
we did the curbside ordering.
Yeah,
and we went and got it and just watched a movie. And
did you do it?
Ate in the van. No, we did not do it.
Damn it!
But we did.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't believe I did this. We stopped off at a motel to ask if we could rent the room for just a couple of hours.
They wouldn't do it.
You're going to the wrong place, man.
You
got to come down to Delco, Brett.
It was in Delco.
No.
It was in Delco.
You didn't go to the executive?
It was off
the executive.
It was off 202 Casey, not too far. What was the name of that hot dog place that burnt down a few years ago?
Johnny's, yeah.
John 202?
Yeah.
Near 202 and Route 1?
Yeah.
It was over down that way. There was like a roadside motel, and we're like, I bet they'll rent us a room for a couple hours. I know exactly which one you're talking about. It wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, there's another one.
So I assume the executive handles a lot of international business meetings.
Sure, yeah. Preston, there's another one on Route 1 where I'm sure there's only crack and meth being smoked in those rooms.
We could have done it. But anyhow, it was romantic, and we tried and do what we
you
could.
You made
but,
time.
But most people don't have a chance to go out anymore, apparently that. And another study, if you do happen to have a night and you're a parent, I have the most expensive and cheapest average babysitter cost for Valentine's Day.
I assume that has to. I assume it's like increased rates because it's a very popular day to go out. So securing a babysitter has got to be expensive, right?
You do it like you do the dermatologist appointment. You make that a year in advance.
Right.
You know, when you go out for Valentine's Day this year.
Who's the ugliest teenager we know?
Oh, my God. That's awful.
That kid with the raging acne.
Dude.
Give him a call.
Yeah. He'll be free.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What do you guys? We haven't used a babysitter in years because my kids are.
Oh, you have the older
too
boys.
Old for that now. What are you paying for a babysitter these days, Kathy? Or do you just have friends and family do it?
No. Well, so I have more of like a. I mean, it's a babysitter, but it's more of like a nanny. So I pay her one lump sum for every week, no matter how much she works.
But I mean, if you guys want to go on the evening or something, like
Miss Kathy, your bath has been drawn.
Yeah,
that we don't do that often. But I would say probably 20 an hour.
Okay,
is 20 an hour a going rate for somebody you want to ensure won't murder your children?
I mean,
that's a lot.
And listen, I only have one, so I know that there are people that have more. So I'm sure there are people that are paying more than me.
You're doing 20 an hour and she's not changing diapers? Like,
well, he doesn't wear diapers.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, but can you pay $20 to have, like, if I wanted someone to change my diapers? Because it's a kinky thing.
So that you think, but you don't get babysitters, do you?
Not anymore. No, but we used to. And I thought,
you used to, but like now it's bumped up.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was $15 an hour.
I blame Nick's ex-wife because she's the one that set the rate.
What?
Yeah, because you know Nick's not paying anybody $20 an hour.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, but I tell you what, I can get you a deal on free Christmas trees.
No, because for a while when Ben was little, he also was the only one that there was only one child, yeah. And so I reached out to her to see what
I
she
thought that
paid.
Rate was normal because of her. Maybe she screwed it up for everybody.
And a matching 401k.
Hey, here's a text that says, I pay $15 an hour for three kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting ripped off.
You're getting ripped off, Kat.
By the way, the average most expensive is in Seattle. And babysitters pull the most in, averaging $19.53 per hour. That's an average. So it's
roughly, I know why.
Or my house.
There's the ever-looming fear of a Sasquatch attack.
That, too. You have to protect,
yes.
Right? Making up the rest of the top five most expensive cities were Buffalo, New York, 19 and a quarter an hour.
Because no one wants to live in Buffalo.
Then San Francisco. There's all the poop there.
Yeah, right.
San Jose and New York City all came in around $19 an hour. On the other end of the spectrum, babysitters in Jacksonville, Florida earned the least with $14.36 per hour. So it's looking like that $15 range is about where
you
want
to be.
I
just put them in a box.
And in Las Vegas, a babysitter can expect to pull in $15.70 per hour. So that's one of the things you have to consider, and one of the reasons that maybe some parents don't get out.
It's a tough night, right? Tough night to secure somebody.
Yeah.
Huh?
What case?
No, I was just pointing at...
I thought you wanted to say something. You want me to go to this call?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let me go to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Bill?
Hey, so I am a therapist. I work in trauma therapy, and I work specifically with war zone veterans. And you guys are spot on, man. I think some therapy would be a good thing.
Because of our wartime experiences.
You can clearly hear it and what because, we have to say.
Because they hate Galentine's Day?
No, well, there's some legitimacy behind that. I just wanted to bring up two things. You know, this time of year, people experience a lot of winter blues,
yeah.
So it's not uncommon to just kind of be in a down mood this time of year, regardless of the holiday. But you're absolutely right. The holiday is very polarizing. Getting together with friends can just be a really good experience, because a therapeutic experience can exist when there's a combination of externalization and validation. So a group of friends can usually provide that for each other, especially if you don't have a loved one to spend the holiday with.
Yeah, you know, Bill, a few weeks ago I was kind of in the dumps, and I was just going through a phase, and I do that several times a year. It just happens, and unfortunately I'm used to it, and I don't let it get to me too much. But I was considering tracking down, going to a therapist, getting things started. I talked to a friend of mine who had done it, helped him out a lot with his issues. And then I started to try to find a therapist. And I said, this is going to drive me crazy, just finding the right therapist. So I quit, and I didn't do anything about it.
It's like dating, Bill. I mean,
you got to date your therapist.
You do. It's a feeling out process. And I've been to plenty of therapists in my life, and some of them I would never go see again. They were like first dates. And if you don't have a connection with a therapist and you don't feel the chemistry, like on a date, there's no reason to go back for a second visit, not to mention the fact that it's often expensive. So if you're going to spend time for an hour or so in a session with somebody, you better have a connection with that person.
Hey, Bill, who in your expert opinion do you think on this show could benefit from a therapist
the most therapy?
You know, guys, I would be unethical for me to make that
answer. Yeah.
Answer it, goddamn it!
No, he's being. I knew he would say that because that's what a good counselor therapist would say.
He'll charge us for that answer.
So here's what you do when you get off: just text us your answer.
Yeah, Bill.
Hey, listen. You know, Nick, you're spot on. You know, it is like finding a dating relationship. You got to be comfortable with your therapist. The relationship is the most important part. Doesn't matter how many initials are after their last name. If you can't bond with them and trust them, it really doesn't matter.
And, Bill, isn't sex an important part of your relationship with your therapist?
no comment.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it, man. By the way, somebody's pointing out we have a resource we didn't even consider. Gary Lauer could be
our
group therapist.
If anyone here's a guy who's figured out how to love life despite life saying, eh-eh.
I don't know what the PhD in Gary Lauer's title stands for, but it's not good.
Puke, hawking,
and discharge.
And discharge.
I was going to say dentures, but, you know.
Yeah, dentures.
Wait, you just brought up a good point. Do you think that actually happens, like, group therapy among coworkers? Like, do you think that anybody's ever had to go to therapy with a coworker?
Well, like an HR, there was a, in fact, in the Rob McElhenney series, the Mystic Quest, the HR woman at the company, everyone is coming to her for therapy. Yeah. She goes, you don't understand what HR is. and they come and they say, I'm finding it hard to interact. That's not what I do.
I remember, like, back in the 70s, there work groups would do group sessions. I don't know if they were therapy sessions, but things like, Steve, like trust falling and stuff like that, where they were kind of like...
retreats, yeah.
They were considered, team building, with therapy, I don't know, but where we would actually sit down and talk about what we think about each other and share our emotions.
I think that's the road to disaster.
Can HR say, okay, well, Preston and Steve, you two need to go to therapy. You guys have to go to therapy.
Well, I feel that they mock me when I discuss soon. I get that it's for the show, but it hurts.
And Annabelle, how does she make you feel?
It's a wonderful little doll, my comfort doll, my stress-reducing doll, and they mock it.
Annabelle.
See?
God, I would love to make that happen.
Yeah, so the idea of going, honestly, the therapy thing is a cool thing. Do you think you might pursue it?
Yeah, I should. And
missed opportunities or
Craigslist.
Craigslist, yeah.
Social encounters.
Exactly, Nick. Yeah. That's exactly where you look for your therapist.
No, I got in touch with our union, who was going to tell me the proper way to do it with insurance and all that stuff. They sent me some information. Here's a list. And I started to look down the list. And I'm like, wow.
It's work.
Who are
this
these
is
people?
More work than I thought I was going to have
and
to go through.
Doesn't pay for a lot of
and
it.
And then you have to check and see if your insurance covers it or not, or how many sessions, and then how much you're going to have to pay, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is too much work for me.
Many therapists will let you work it off in the yard.
Oh, you actually get to go
do some
and
raking and stuff.
Listen, and
light chores.
And I'm sure that, so... I went to therapy a couple of times, and I felt like, and I'm sure if you go longer, maybe it goes past this, but I talked for an hour. So I said, I mean, I didn't say it to the woman, but I paid
Jesus
you $100.
Jesus Christ, this chick is out of her goddamn mind.
Right? But, like, I paid you...
Are you going to talk to me?
I paid you $120 for what? What?
Yeah.
And it was two times, so it was $240, and she didn't say anything, really.
She didn't give any advice.
I mean, like, very little.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
And when I stopped talking...
We're the only two people in the room!
Wait, and when I stopped talking, like... She would just look at me and, like, tilt her head a little bit.
And you're like, what?
No, she's like,
what?
She's
you're
like,
judging
she's like
what?
This. Well, no. What's Preston like?
Say something.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You're a fan.
You're not going crazy.
I would say don't pass judgment on all therapists by that encounter, because that sounds to me like an ineffective therapist.
Well, no. And listen, she was very nice, but, like, I just couldn't get past that. So, like, why am I going to go? I know.
She was restoring a chair while she...
But, like, that's how I felt. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm not wasting my money on this.
Real quick, Pierre's on hold, but I want to go to this other call first because it concerns the question that Kathy had about coworkers and going to therapy. So let me go to Ed. Hi, Ed. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, Kathy, the reason that the therapist might have been listening is because, and that's one of the things that I had, was sometimes it's good just to get the stuff off your chest. Like, just to keep talking and get it off your chest and actually feel better afterwards. Yes, I was forced to go because a coworker and I got into a verbal argument, a really, like, really blown up one, and I had been punished. And part of the agreement for my punishment was we had to go to therapy. I had to go to anger management classes. Try finding an anger management class that, you know, doesn't, we have to put you on a waiting list for a year. It was impossible. So I went the other route and I got a personal therapist, and basically he walked me through, and I agree. I actually probably needed it. So it probably wasn't a bad thing, but
you feel you benefited from it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
I'm less stressed at work, and it's actually, it helped. Even though I was forced to go to it, it really, really helped.
So,
and it was totally worth it.
I'm sorry, but just to clarify, forced to go through it, meaning that your work mandated you do it, or they were going to let you go, or what?
Correct. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It was like go to therapy or there's, you know, it was part of the discipline settlement.
Did they make the other person go?
Union. No, the other person actually, no, didn't.
Wow. So you were like the main aggressor or, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of the aggressor. And, they had recognized that maybe I had a little, you know. So it was like, that's why they wanted me to go to anger therapy or anger management class. They wanted me to graduate from anger management class, which was, but I seriously tried to find one. And it was like, there's like a years waiting list on all the ones that my healthcare company covered.
Okay.
So that's why I went the single route.
But you're doing better now, right?
I feel much better. Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right.
That's all that matters.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. I didn't know that could happen. That they could say,
yeah,
you got to go to therapy, man. Wow. Interesting.
Get your ass fixed.
But I guess that's better than being fired.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, speaking of coworkers, and we have our own love therapist who is on the road this morning.
He can adjust an attitude.
And he's headed out with some coffee from our friends at Dunkin', and it is the Spread the Love Caravan. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and we just want to fill the world with love. And so we send out the man who's got the biggest heart right here at WMMR. He's on the phone line now at his first location, heading to separate work sites throughout the Delaware Valley. Pierre Robert, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, sunshine.
Great. Day in the morning.
There he is.
I am bright-eyed. I am bushy-tailed, whatever that means. And we are in Conshohocken, Preston and Steve, and we are outside of CSG. And Heather has asked us to come. I mean, Denise, right?
Yes. I've been Heather all morning. It's all good.
Denise with Heather. Tell us what CSG is.
We are a telecommunications company in the
Philadelphia
regional area, and we provide service to our customers 24/7, 365. This is why this team needed some love this morning.
So nice. Our warming caravan of liquid love from Dunkin' Donuts has arrived with our lovely calendar girls, Allison and Lisa. And we've got donuts, and we've got presents and hats and muffins and coffee and coats and tables and chairs.
So, Pierre, today's kind of a day you classically refer to as raw, so I think hot coffee and all of this stuff couldn't come at a better time, correct?
No, you're absolutely correct, Steve, and we're actually outside of the building. We're in the parking lot, and it's warm and tropical and lovely with a light rain falling, so it doesn't get any more warm and fuzzy and comfortable than this.
Yeah. Exactly. How many people are there, Pierre?
What's your name, sir?
Steve Molina.
And so what kind of things do you do in the company? What kind of levers do you connect or whatever it is?
So, I basically walk around and tell people what to do for a living.
Excellent.
It's an excellent job.
I love it. And you needed this coffee, did you not?
I did, because when I come in the morning and I see my staff, I definitely need a nice jolt to get the day going.
There you go. Now, you were telling me about wires and things and
levers.
And things. Levers. But what is it? You told me some technical. What is it you do?
So we are we take care of communication systems and equipment for hospitals and schools and offices in the area.
Oh, cool. And you wanted me to work for you to help you with some of the technical stuff, right?
Absolutely. We always need technical help. We can, we can plug in cables.
That's me.
Unplug cables.
That's me. Wait a minute. One more. You come over here. What's your name?
Greg.
Greg, and what did you just tell me that we'd met before, right?
We met at a concert about, I guess, 8 years ago, and I accidentally cursed on the air.
I am shocked.
So I apologize. I'm glad to have finally apologized to you.
And so what concert was it?
It was a Van Halen concert.
And where was I and how did we meet?
I was at the Wells Fargo Center, and you were just standing outside in the concourse just talking to people.
Asking people how the show was.
Yes.
And you said something like?
I said it was pretty
blank
and cool.
Okay. I said, move along, sailor.
Yeah.
Move along, sailor.
That's all right. It's all right. So it's a lovely thing. How you're so bright-eyed. How is that possible?
It's because of this great Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Now that's what... Woo! We got the whole truck. We're, the Dunkin' people are here. The calendar girls are here. Everybody's here, and it's a happy time, kids.
I love it. All
it
right.
Sounds great.
Pierre's on stop number one of the Dunkin' Caravan, the Love Caravan, and he's going to hit three different spots. So enjoy, hang out with him, Pierre. Give him our love, and we'll check in with you on the next stop, all right?
Roger that, Tommy.
All right, we'll see.
Roger that, Tommy.
Oh, my God. The levers and so on.
Yeah, could you imagine him doing some sort of electrical system for a hospital?
I'd love to see
yeah.
that, actually. All right, so we'll check in with him. He's got two more stops to make through the course of the show, and we thank him so much for getting up on this this time where he doesn't normally exist at all. He like, fades into another dimension and then comes back after the morning is over.
It's true. He literally appeared as an apparition when we first saw him this morning.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment, and we'll get some bizarre file stories. Part of your therapy on your drive into work. We'll return shortly. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day. Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's roll out those stories. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning it is brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. Get ready for the Cardboard Classic, gang. JFPB is open for winter full of snow and fun. Save big when you purchase lift tickets in advance at jfbb.com. JFBB, where the snow comes first. A UK prison officer has been jailed after carrying out a six-month affair behind bars with a notorious drug smuggler. The court also heard that the officer, Stephanie Smith-White, cut a hole in her uniform trousers to facilitate sexual liaisons with imprisoned gangster Curtis Cocky Warren. Smith-White denied that she cut a hole for a sexual purpose, but the sentencing judge said it was hard to imagine why else she would make an incision in the crotch.
So that was a cocky hole.
Yeah. The pair met secretly in his cell, the kitchen, and the laundry room at Franklin Prison, which is home to some of the UK's most dangerous prisoners. The court also heard that Smith-White sent Warren a photograph of herself wearing a cat suit.
Ooh.
Meow. She also...
I assume there's something in the worker's handbook that forbids this, right?
Yeah, she was caught when fellow officers began to suspect her and began monitoring inside the prison, catching her passing notes to Warren.
How come all your pants have holes in them?
Smith-White last month admitted two counts of misconduct in a public office. The judge said that Smith-White was infatuated with Warren, who he described as a major league offender and who used the officer to smuggle in drugs, and asked her about the prison security measures.
This is like Escape from Dannemora.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Same sort of situation.
Yep.
The smitten prison guard admitted to detectives that she was devastated by events but still hoped that there was a chance that her relationship with Warren might continue.
Did she give any indication what she's planning to do for Valentine's Day?
No. Her lawyer argued that his client had made a catastrophic error in judgment.
Really?
Smith-White was falling in love with the wrong person.
He's a bad boy.
An Altoona man was arrested early Sunday after police say he had called and texted a woman while he was burglarizing her home. John E. Farbaugh.
So what are you doing?
Was found inside the home after Altoona police responded at about 1 a.m. Sunday. The woman called 911 after receiving phone calls and text messages from Farbaugh in which he told her he had broken into her home. She was not at home. And she told police that she and her friends were giving Farbaugh a ride home from a local veterans club that night when he opened the door and got out of the moving vehicle near her home.
We often stop, so remember that.
Police said that the door to the woman's house had been kicked in, and Farbaugh allegedly had baseball cards and drill bits that he had taken from the home.
Remember, grab the baseball cards and the drill bits. What about the money?
No.
Yeah, add the money to the list.
Baseball cards and drill bits. Farbaugh also sent messages to the woman.
All right, dear, the drill bits.
To tell her that he knew how to hotwire a car and was going to steal her vehicle.
What about the Allen wrenches?
Police allegedly found a pill bottle with acetaminophen and oxycodone hydrochloride pills on Farbaugh when he was taken into custody. He faces charges that include felony burglary.
Where's your scotch tape, bitch?
How about this? While many people, I figured this would be good for Valentine's Day coming up. While many people are scrambling to find a last-minute present or date for Valentine's Day, a Kansas man wants a little something more, a girlfriend. And he's offering $25,000 to anyone who can help him find one.
As you check the local prisons?
Bachelor Jeff Gebhardt told his local CBS affiliate that he has grown sick of dating the traditional way and especially abhors online dating, so he said he decided to think outside the box. He said, well, think about it. If you're in a happy marriage, what monetary value could you ever place on meeting the right person, ever? The 47-year-old said, my time and frustration and disappointment definitely is worth some sort of dollar figure, but that was roughly what I'd spend in dating. Gebhardt, an entrepreneur by trade, has been working on the project for about 6 months. He launched his dating website Sunday night. He's a decent-looking guy. He's in great shape.
Right.
So I was looking at pictures
of
him.
Any takers?
Well, it just started Sunday. Okay. So the site has all anyone would ever need to know about the eligible bachelor, including a two-minute-long video detailing his quest. Gebhardt has never been engaged or married, but he has been in several long-term relationships.
Hi, I work on the popular morning show in Philadelphia. Sell your website. I'm intrigued. I like to do arts and crafts. Let's meet for a date at Floral and Hardy.
You can put some succulents together.
Ooh. Put together some succulents. I put the suck in succulents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mandy.
He doesn't have any kids, but does have a beloved pup named Gunner and is using his search for love to help out other dogs as well. He's also going to donate $25,000 to a no-kill dog shelter.
Which is all wonderful, but doesn't just make you think something's up here? Something's not firing? If the guy looks as good as he does and...
No, so here's the stipulation. For those looking to get a quick payday, there are some strings attached. Potential match must exclusively date him for 365 consecutive days. The matchmaker only gets cash if the pair makes it to the one-year mark. They don't take it home all at once. He will pay the fee in five installments of $5,000 over a five-year period, unless the couple breaks up in that time. If so, the matchmaker won't receive any more money than what they've already earned.
All right.
Women who are dating him or those who nominate themselves are not eligible for payment. Sorry, man.
All right.
Ladies who are interested in dating him don't get to skip straight to dinner and a movie either. Women must take a survey to see if they would be a match. And it's a survey based on science and was developed by a clinical psychiatrist, according to the site.
Okay.
So he's trying that way. So we'll see how that works out for him. All right, time for one more, and then we will wrap it up. Staff working in a shop had a shock when they found a badger had fallen through the ceiling and landed behind a counter. The badger came through a ceiling panel in a drugstore in Northampton's in the Northampton area in the UK, and then ran under the perfume counter. The Northamptonshire Badger Group was called in to rescue the female animal.
The often celebrated Northampton Badger Group.
And subsequently set it free. Sally Jones.
Well, they're the finest badger group in the whole country.
From the group said that it was the oddest rescue we've ever had. She said she didn't know how the young female badger got into the shop on Sunday.
No, we don't want the Dorchester Badger.
Which was closed to the public at the time. Ms. Jones said it was suggested it could have entered via ducts in the back of the shop.
They used ducks, another animal, to get inside.
No duct.
Oh.
Yeah, the duck let him in. They paid off the duck and he let him in.
All right, you go through this back door, you use a coat hanger, and you lift up the lock.
That'll be
Thank
50
you,
bucks.
Duck.
Yeah. So she said when the badger hit the staff said when the badger hit the floor, it trundled off a bit dazed.
Of course it trundled off a bit dazed. That's the way badgers operate. Always wandering around trundled.
Miss Jones said that by the time the group arrived to rescue the badger, there were perfume bottles strewn all over the floor.
Was this the lead story on the national on the news in the UK?
It must have been. So on the BBC, yes.
Badger crisis.
She explained they were able to capture the animal and took it away to assess her. The badger was set free later that same day.
The story ends happily with the badger being beaten into a pulpy mess with a hammer.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we're going to give something away.
Yeah.
We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Fishing Show, February 21st to the 23rd at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. So caller number 8, we'll give you that, 215-263-WMMR, saltwater and freshwater, trout to tuna.
I like fishing. I just don't like catching anything, but I like the whole process of fishing. It's very zen.
Visit PhillyFishingShow.com. You can meet Casey there on Saturday, February 23rd, between noon and 2.
22nd.
22nd.
Yes, my bad.
Damn it. All right.
You're going to be leading a fly fishing class, right?
I will not. But there will be fishing stuff there.
Nice. 215-263-WMMR. Yes. Come and see all the fishing stuff.
What can one find at this? Fishing stuff.
With Casey. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, we should have comedian John Doerr back in our studio. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. We also have Chef Nick Liberato, who's got a show called Restaurants on the Edge on Netflix. An old friend of Kathy Romano's, yes, who's going to be here. Ooh. Hoping for big things from him, too. We'll take a break and be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Our next guest is going to be at Helium Comedy Club. The early shows for Friday and Saturday have already sold out, so you better get your tickets now.
Come on.
Or you're going to miss your opportunity. He's got a show tonight and one on Sunday as well. But there are late show tickets available on Friday and Saturday, 10 p.m. Please welcome back to our studio and to the great city of Philadelphia, Mr. John Doerr.
Yay! Too kind.
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, Preston. How are you doing? Thanks for having me back, by the way. You're lovely ambassadors to this city. I feel very welcome.
Well, we try.
Yes.
Well, you have to uphold that whole tradition of you've got a friend in Pennsylvania and then this city of brotherly love. So we try to do both.
That's what I hear, brotherly love. And I feel that warmth.
Yeah.
Last night I went out to watch the a hockey game because I got in early.
Uh-huh.
And I asked if they could put on the Boston Bruins Montreal Canadiens game. And the bartender said, "You want me to put on a Boston game right here in Philly?" And I said, "No, I'm just asking." He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. Love that sense of humor. But I was genuinely terrified.
You were genuinely terrified?
Well, because I've seen videos of Philly fans, so I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what territory I'm trespassing on here.
Yeah, we believe that there is a lot of unfair criticism given of Philly fans on some level, and some of it's warranted. But
it's not that it's unfair. It's that these fans exist in every single city. I mean, if you look at the videos of what happened in Kansas City during the Super Bowl parade, there was literally a police chase in in the parade route, you know? So,
Yeah,
but then again, why does so? All right, I didn't mean to break off into a discussion here. Why do all the players and coaches always say when they're in interviews, this city is original, it's different, the fans tell you this, blah, 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 they let you know? Do you believe that?
I believe that they say that in every city.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that. Oh, yeah, the fans here are great. They know their sports. They know their teams.
No,
they're
not the fans
passionate.
Here are great, and they know their sport, and they know their teams. They let you know when you're doing poorly. They all of the coaches, all the players always say that about Philadelphia.
Well, I don't know.
What about Canadians?
We're up against a hard break here. We're going to be right back.
Right.
I am John. Sorry that we broke.
You started.
Sorry we broke. I know. I feel terrible.
You're one of these incendiary Canadians. Yeah,
I know. It's terrible. Let's get these guys talking about hockey and sports.
We'll do it another time.
But there is something
now we talk abortion.
But I agree. Okay.
No, go ahead. Let's abort that and stay with hockey and sports. Yeah. But I think every sport, you're not wrong, but as Philly, it's great to have that attitude in a city. Montreal is the same. You cannot, if you want to be an athlete in Montreal, you want to play for the Montreal Canadiens, you better have thick skin.
Okay.
Because those fans will get on you. And I love that. Ottawa, where I'm from, as much as I love our team, we are boring and passive.
Toronto, too.
Yeah. Toronto, too. But Toronto's a little more like, elitist cosmopolitan. Where
is
like,
it?
I think so, personally, because the lower bowl at Toronto Maple Leaf games, it's all corporate. And it's just a little bit boring. Montreal, they're on their players. They're passionate. They're screaming. They're singing songs. They're chanting. There's a passion to Montreal. And I feel like there's a similar thing going on in Philadelphia. There's a similar thing in Boston.
Right.
And there's fun rivalry towns. And there's a reason why, you know, Bobby Clark and... I don't know. I think there's a passion to this city and a passion to Montreal and a passion to Boston.
So
that doesn't exist in Toronto.
You would say so that's the correlation there. If Philadelphia is most like you're going to...
Sports is best if you feel like you could die at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, okay.
Either as a fan or a player. If you feel like your life is threatened, but you, in the deep recesses of your mind, you know you're going to be okay.
Right.
But if you're a little bit on edge, that's a great...
It's like, James Bond movie. You know he's not going to die, but you should fear he will die.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sports should feel like Quantum of Solace.
Yeah. I'm a huge Flyers fan. It's my favorite team and my favorite sport, and so I always root for them. But if the Flyers don't make it far in the playoffs, which has happened a lot over the last decade plus... I end up rooting for Canadian teams. But a Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup since the Canadiens did it in 93.
93, yeah.
So when your team, if it's the Senators, if they're out, do you automatically root for another Canadian team, or do you find a separate team in the States to root for?
Oh, it depends. So, yes. So my allegiance to a particular hockey team has nothing to do with Canada, necessarily.
Really? So national pride does not supersede local alliances?
It can, depending on the team. If Toronto is in the final, I will always root against Toronto. I don't care who it is.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh, okay.
No, I grew up in Ottawa, and every fan just made... Yeah, no, absolutely. I want Toronto to lose all the time. I want them to make the playoffs so they lose. Because the stakes are higher. Yeah. They're good for hockey.
Right, yeah. Right.
One of the greatest days of my life was when Toronto... This 2013.
Yeah.
First round of the playoffs against the Boston Bruins are up 4-1 in Game 7.
Yeah.
And this is the greatest.
They were up 3-1 in that series.
Yeah.
Were they up 3-1 in the series?
They were up in Game 7, and then I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, so 4-1 with 10 minutes to go, and so I'm watching the game in Los Angeles with my friends from Toronto, and then it becomes 4-2, and then 4-3. You can guess where this is going, 4-4. Right. And then it gets to overtime, and Toronto loses. They had it all. It's unheard of. And my friend just walked out of the bar into their cars. They didn't say goodbye, and they just drove off. I didn't hear from some of them for days. I was the happiest. I could not have been happier to see, because it's also sports at the end of the day.
Right.
And you're right. We should get back to abortion. And that
stuff we can all agree on.
Yes.
But to that level, it's funny because we don't. Obviously, you know, reading up on you and all the, you know, so obviously you have a career that's been very successful in Canada as well, and hosting a number of shows and so on and so forth. And I'm always curious about the perception, you know, for example, you talk about the rivalries, and you kind of describe something that might be a rivalry the way we have Philadelphia against like the Dallas or even that as well. And for some reason, you know, we always perceive this blanket. Well, they're just such pleasant people, and you know, everyone, you know. But there is, I guess, what is the greatest misconception you find about Americans towards Canada?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I think I think you've hit on it. Like there is as much ignorance and racism and nonsense in Canada as you'll find anywhere.
Okay,
I think the one equalizer in Canada is socialized medicine. It really is.
That's it.
The fact that you get hurt, you're okay. You don't have to pay for anything.
Right.
That kind of puts everyone on a little bit of equal playing on the equal playing field.
But everyone's paying for it. Right.
Well, yeah, our taxes pay for it, but at least you know that you're not going to have to mortgage your house or get another job, or you know, you don't have to worry. And I think there's a sense of kind of camaraderie that keeps us all.
Does that foster more sports related fights, knowing that you're covered?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
No, but you're saying that people think because of things like that you guys are nice to everybody.
Well, I think that there is some truth. And again, I don't know anything. I'm a dumb Canadian. I have no idea, right? So this is just me, guessing. But I feel like that kind of makes – it's the one thing that kind of links us all together. No matter what, we're okay.
So when we – I was in
– But it doesn't answer your question, but go ahead. Sorry.
No, but go ahead.
So I don't want to answer it.
When I was
I'm out of here.
That was a stupid question. Back to abortion. No, we went to Vancouver, my wife and I, one of the greatest vacations we ever took, loved it. But it's funny because you learn things. And when we were there, the impression we kept getting, and a lot of people were telling us, that pot is a cash crop in Vancouver of huge levels, and that there's a huge economy based on that. And it was never something I perceived. Is that in fact the case? Because that's what we hear about Vancouver, that it's
Well, I mean, pot is legal across the country now. And so there are dispensaries.
But Vancouver's especially is a...
Yeah, Vancouver, I mean, because it's also fertile soil for growing the product. So, yeah, forever people have been, yeah, there's mushrooms and you know, marijuana to be harvested if you choose. And, yeah, it's a very liberal town when it comes to drugs, not just marijuana. Social programs and helping people and safe injection sites. So there's risk and reward with that. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very liberal when it comes to drugs. go to Hastings Street in near Gastown in Vancouver, and you'll see a scene that is not depicted in any pamphlet from CanadaTourism.org.
What would we see?
Yeah. You'll be sneezed at, spat on, possibly.
Really?
It's an interesting world.
Yeah, okay.
It's, but it's people who also support each other, and there's a community there. But it's drugs. It's okay. Drugs. It's a lot of drugs. I feel so weird talking about it.
Yeah,
like I feel like I'm going to hurt fellow Canadians or fellow people.
We're ripping the lid off about this. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask because when you first sat down, you guys were all talking. And I was just prepping and getting ready for the break. But did you like lose a day, or did you forget what day it was, or something like that? Or
I thought today was Wednesday. I live in Alaska now. I live in Juneau, Alaska.
And they're a day behind us.
Okay.
No, yeah, something like that. No. Yeah.
Oh, wait, you live in Juneau?
Wait, why?
I didn't. Okay.
I moved there. Yeah. I love this space.
Well, no. I'm very interested. But I know. Like, I mean, like, you know, you grew up in Canada. I don't know how remote Ottawa is or where the town you... But then you moved to L.A., which is like the opposite of that. Yeah. And then Juneau, like... Yeah. Listen, that's romantic. Like, I love the idea of living
very in, northern exposure.
North. Yeah. I made a huge mistake.
Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. You were correct to ask that question with the perplexed look on your face as you did. Like, why would you? That was correct.
Yeah.
Because I lived in Canada, moved to L.A. I had everything I wanted. It was perfect. Palm trees, loved it. Then I went to Alaska to perform, did a show. Met a human woman who I fell in love with, and we traveled back and forth, and then I decided to move there because she has a child and her work keeps her there, and I can travel for the most part for work. So I uprooted my perfect life in L.A., and now I'm called a bonus parent because I'm taking care of a 5-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Bonus parent.
Yes, because they don't like using step-parent in terms like that anymore because they have evil connotation, which is ridiculous because it ultimately just become evil bonus parent anyway, so who cares? So I'm making Nutella sandwiches at 6:30 in the morning, which is the whole thing is insane to even say out loud.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's jarring. That's a complete, but I mean, that's a we were just talking about some of the best times and most incredible experiences for me have been in Alaska, just gorgeous, but it is not the kind of place for someone, I think, who is in an active entertainment.
Oh, no, I made
career.
A huge mistake. I don't know how much light you're trying to shine on my errors. But yes, I've made a mistake.
Trying to make you feel better about it.
No, I know.
Did you watch the movie, like, what was it, Insomnia with Pacino?
Yeah.
Is that a comedy to you?
Oh, no, that's a tragedy. That's exactly
that's
that
real.
Movie. Yeah, no, that creeps up in my mind all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because in the summertime, you get a lot of light, and sometimes you don't want that much light. But it just illuminates every crack in your life. You can't escape it. You see every dust particle, everything that's not cleaned up, the Nutella crumbs on the ground. You're like, oh my God, what am I going to do here? It's too bright. Give me darkness. And then you get too much darkness.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Vampires. Flying around Alaska.
Yeah.
John, just stayed in L.A.
Let me ask you this, because, and I can only speak from personal experience, but every time I go to Los Angeles and I get out the airplane in LAX and walk outside, I ask myself, why don't I live here?
Yes.
And then I have not been to Alaska yet, but
you didn't
I would
go to Alaska.
It's probably top of my list of states that I haven't.
We
been
think
to
you made a mistake.
I know I did. Yeah.
So on a daily basis, how much do you? Because you travel so much for work, and I'm sure it sends you back to Los Angeles for work too. Does it?
Yeah.
Does it really wreck your mental state?
Does it really wreck your mental?
Yes.
Okay. It does. Yeah. No, it doesn't wreck it, but I definitely miss Los Angeles. Like landing in Los Angeles, that feeling you're talking about, just it made me feel warm because when I'm landing in LA and you just see the city getting bigger as you're coming down and the palm trees are becoming more real. And then you're right. You walk outside and I love Los Angeles. It is a beautiful place. It's a fantasy land. If you can find a way to live in LA and just one of my best friends in the world from Philadelphia, Tim
Bader. This guy might as well be the mayor of West Hollywood. He's a monster. You talk about Philly and stereotypes being reinforced. This is a monster human being, one of the best guys. Imagine like Motley Crue inside one body, and that body is Ferris Bueller. Like that kind of fun.
Wow.
And so when you live that kind of lifestyle, and it really is a better to burn out than fade away kind of thing, you know, his attitude. So when you live that kind of lifestyle in West Hollywood, it is a fantasy land. And if you can get away with it, that's great. But I fell for the trick, you know, of, a child and love and romance and Alaska. Yeah, that's great. It's not.
I can't believe you fell in love with someone in Alaska, like of all places.
You follow your heart, I suppose.
We assume, and not to be in doubt, this must be a monster lover that you found yourself.
A monster lover.
She is a monster. She is a monster, and I'll tell her that.
And she's always been? She's a native of Alaska? Yes. A native of Alaska?
She's an indigenous native Alaskan woman. Grew up in a village in Alaska.
So like Jewel.
Jewel?
Was she from Alaska? Yeah, that's Alaska.
Right. She's from Alaska. Indigenous Native Alaskan woman from a small village in Alaska, and it had a very interesting, difficult life. And now she works for the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So she's trying to influence policy and change the world for the better, which is admirable and wonderful and great, and also consuming. So it takes over our life sometimes. And again, I'm going to make this about me and my time. No, she's
you are not a happy man.
By the way,
I want to know more about your bonus parenting.
Oh, what do you want to know? Yeah, there's plenty going on.
We know that you have a lot of access to Nutella. That's been established.
Okay, so here's what needs to be understood is I used to live on a bar stool, and I mean 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Really?
All my buddies. Oh, wow. And we hang out. And we watch sports. Like I said, West Hollywood, fantasy land, okay? Mayor Tim Bader leading the way. So that was my life. And then the way I describe it is it feels like I've been helicoptered into a different world. And now I'm dealing with, I enjoy it. But there's a five-year-old, and that changes everything, right? Because you spend time with a woman, as I do, as a cisgendered, heterosexual, white male, member of the patriarchy. I spend time alone with a woman. Now there's a five. It changes absolutely everything. So hours, when you fall asleep, and a lot of people listening are probably like, get used to it. Who cares? Like, I didn't grow up. I wasn't eased into this through diapers and change and whatever. It's just I got dropped in. And now this kid also has to learn to trust me. Who's this weirdo in the house? Well, I'll tell you who this weirdo is. His name is John, and I'm now your bonus parent. So go to bed, put the tablet away. Stop eating so much sugar. You're wound up. We're not watching Frozen again.
Is it possible, though?
I'm furious.
Is it possible this move circuitously saved your life if you were a person on that path?
Bingo.
There you go.
Steve, I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was doing things. I was absorbing substances that I probably was... I was going to run out of time. Nailed it. So, yeah, I'm much healthier in Alaska. Good. When I hit the road, I drink. When I'm living in Alaska, I don't.
By the way, there are people texting in that know Tim Bader.
Yeah, of course they do. Trust me. Tim is a legend.
So. Yeah, Tim Bader went to St. Joe's University, according to this particular person who texted.
Let's pull up Misspelled Marquee by Tim the Band.
Is that?
He's a musician. Yeah. No, it's an album is Misspelled Marquee.
Okay.
Is he a comedian?
Oh, he's the greatest human ever. Yeah, he is a funny human. He's a commercial actor. He is...
I know this guy. I'm looking at the picture.
He went to Bishop Kendrick in Norristown.
I can't... Yes! Well,
I can't believe we're talking about Tim Bader this much. It's perfect.
Yeah. There he is. Good-looking Bob Menery podcast. There's Tim on the right with the I finished third place shirt.
Okay. So
who's the girl on the right? Left, by the way, John.
I don't know who that is. She's on the podcast. I can't remember her name.
You said the guy on the right.
You said the guy on the right. He's on the left.
That's a lady.
Oh, well, that's depends what they do in Alaska. It's a metric system.
So when you're looking at...
left is right, right is left, eh?
Oh, so sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So wait, so when you're looking at the photo, on the left. Yeah.
Nick, I think, check to see if we've had him in studio.
All right.
Preston, because you know that...
She's hot. All right, anyway, go
ahead. I'm fairly certain we had him in studio and that he is friends with another friend of mine. And then that guy used to send me... And I think it's because of Tim, like the worst videos. He would send me the worst videos. Laser Wang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. So that's I got to find out if Laser Wang and Tim.
Laser Wang sounds like a friend.
Yeah, I know.
Tim,
yeah.
Laser Wang sounds like a Tim friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to understand, this is a beautiful, beautiful human being. Like okay, when you like, yeah, when I speak of Tim, I speak only in yeah, he's a wonderful human.
Reverentially.
Yes.
But you were down a path that perhaps you could see was not going to be the best.
Oh, that has nothing to do with him. That has everything to do with me and my dumb drugs that I liked.
Okay.
So, yeah, that has stopped. And now
well,
I don't.
Good.
Now I don't. Yes, thank you. And now I don't drink in Juneau because my girlfriend's in recovery. So that doesn't work out too well. But when I hit the road, don't get me wrong, I'll have 1,000 beers a day.
1,000
beers in a single day.
Well, that's counterproductive, I think.
All right.
Well,
are we finding about
all the judgment? For all the judgment.
We're finding more about Tim. So it was called Tim the Band, is his group?
Yeah.
They were on Jackson's Local Shot CD Volume
there
2.
There we go.
Which
there
is, a, which go. Is a local musician collective
so
that we put out
right
here
now.
On MMR.
6 Degrees of Tim.
How cool
I'm
is that?
I'm so happy. Yeah, it's great. It is so great. Wow. There have been multiple bands, and his brother Matt was played bass in the band as well.
Okay. Yeah. Do you find though? And it's funny we talk about this about like the that whole TMZ bubble, the Calabasas bubble, that whole life out there, and it is there is such a skewed version of reality. And you've done the absolute from one extreme to the other. You're now in the, you know. You're now in a wilderness survival movie as opposed to this because you do get a skewed like it's a playground for adults and you were succumbing to that
but there's also nothing wrong with that I mean if you can fit into that world and find a way of making a living and existing in that bubble
right.
which is this playground for adults like you say it's like a less degenerate Vegas. It's like Vegas when the degenerates want a vacation from Vegas, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if you can make that work, it's amazing.
Like Tim.
But for very different reasons. Like, if you want to be single and live in West Hollywood and, it'll cater to any right. need you want. But you can also have family life there as well. But, it's a more honest world, Alaska.
Okay.
Philadelphia, a more honest kind of, you know, blue collar and white collar, just an honest worker's approach to life. Yeah, Los Angeles is this weird Hollywood existence, which I don't like. I don't like that feeling, but mm-hmm. I do love the warm weather and everything else that goes with it.
If you're just tuning in, it's John Doerr here. Some people are coming in late to the interview. He's got one show tonight at Helium, and then Friday and Saturday, just the 10 p.m. shows are available. The other ones are sold out on Sunday. You can go see him as well. Now, is your goal to eventually get out of Alaska and move somewhere else? Or
oh, boy. I don't
what
know.
What do you think?
I don't think I can think that far ahead.
How long you been there?
I think it has to be that. Almost a year.
Okay.
I think you have to purchase a silver mine, and then you miss the progression, right?
And purchase? Yes. If I could discover one and claim that I owned it somehow.
Juneau is barely Alaska. I was looking at the map. It's like...
Enough Alaska.
It's enough Alaska, but it's...
It has hiking. It's got wilderness. Fishing's like look. It's got everything you need. But yeah, it's not rural, remote Alaska. I'm not.
It's not
that
Point
crazy.
Barrel.
I'm not going to build a cabin in the woods and set traps for food.
But you're right near the Glacier Bay National Park,
Mendenhall Glacier. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Sure. You like look at big thing frozen water. It's fun. Yeah, it's just the stark difference in. You know, hanging out on a bar stool with, my friend Tim, and then trading him in for my new best friend, Emma, who's the 5-year-old.
Right.
And they're very similar, by the way. Like, they both laugh at their own farts.
Oh, yeah.
They love that.
What do you miss the most?
Both of them have pooped their pants in my presence in the past year.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Good old Tim.
Difference is, Emma's underwear got thrown out. Tim? Oh, no. Clean. We're sharing a hotel room, number one. Washes them in the shower.
Oh, jeez.
Next day I go into shower. My shin is rubbing up against, what's this wet fat? Oh. Someone needed his own. Anyway, same person. I'm basically hanging out with the same person.
Is he allowed to visit you in Juneau?
He'll never.
No.
He'll never leave. He barely wants to come back here. He'll never leave it.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing, and obviously we've established it saved your life. I wanted to ask you, I saw one of your credits. I love this show, Scare Tactics. You were on Scare Tactics.
The best.
Yes. Did you do more than... You did a couple episodes, right?
We did a full season. We did like 10... I did 10 episodes, I believe, yeah.
That show, I don't know what it is, and I'm not usually a fan of shows with that sort of construct, but the notion of generating sheer terror in someone that way...
Was that the one where you did like the Hills Have Eyes type of thing where there were...
it's an elaborate prank show. Yeah,
so where you were in an RV and there were like these zombie type people.
I didn't do that episode. I know what you're talking about. Depending on. Yes, so the construction of that show is actually probably more fascinating than the show itself because.
I would have to imagine. Yeah. I assume you have to be wavered out the yin yang. I assume that there's so many things that have to go into.
There's a lot of risks. I don't think they're they go to places where you don't require.
Really?
Yeah, because they're taking risks, insurance-wise, yeah.
For people who've never seen it, explain the show because it's and you can see all these episodes, they're available, but it's unique.
It's an elaborate prank show, so people, unsuspecting people, are brought in by their friend.
Right.
But there's a way they're profiled long before that, but that might get boring. So essentially what people need to know is it's an elaborate prank show, so here's an example. This one kid that came to set, he doesn't know it's a set, and he thinks he's going to be getting a job. They're lured in by...
Usually a job. It's usually like a part-time thing, right?
Either volunteer. Like, that's how people are profiled. They know, okay, this person is very philanthropic, and they want to volunteer, and they love animals. Okay, so we're going to use all those things against them. We're going to take them to a place where animals are being tested on, because it's clearly going to bother these people,
and then
some weird experiment's going to happen where a pig person is going to, if that makes sense, is going to jump out of a closet and scare someone. Like, so that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you're a hyper-religious Catholic...
Right.
Then they know probably you could get away with the devil or some sort of demonic possession, right? But that'll never work to a skeptic. So they profile people for the most part pretty well. So we got this one guy. Oh my God. He thought he was coming to this job where I play this creepy online prank show guy. And I'm like, I need someone to help me do camera work. I do this online prank show. It's called You Just Got Boned. And so he was willing to make someone, I said, I want you to go in and pretend you're going to... You're gonna pretend to shoot a guy, and it sounds ridiculous, but he thinks it's a prank. So he's gonna go in, and I've hired this plumber. I say, you're gonna go in and pretend that you're gonna kill him. You're gonna say, put your hands up or you're dead.
So I remember this.
Yes, okay.
I remember this.
His name's Jimmy.
So
then, I explain that for a reason, because then I reveal that he's now trapped. So I've now trapped him along with this other person who's handcuffed to this tub in this weird warehouse basement, and I now come in, and I'm now in a bloody butcher's apron with a cleaver in my hand, and my attitude has completely changed, and this guy feels trapped.
Right.
And he genuinely feels trapped. He thought he was... We made him dance for his life.
Oh, my God.
A disco ball begins to play. Music plays. This is it, here. You're pulling up the video right here. There's a disco ball. Yeah. There's poor Jimmy. That's Jimmy. And
there's your dwarf.
That's Gerhardt. Yes, the little person. We made Jimmy give him compliments. And this is just, you don't get to see all of it. But yeah, we... I feel bad for the listeners.
Do you feel bad at all?
Initially when we did this particular episode, because he was so frustrated. When we revealed to him that it was that he was set up, he punched this... This cabinet so hard, and he was very upset. Like he turned completely white. Like there, he might have speaking of poop in your pants. He may have. Who knows?
Have you ever been? Swung at or attacked?
Oh.
Or because you have people who are literally pushed to the edge with this stuff, and they buy it. The way everything is set up, the scenario surrounding it, the actors, the ensemble, the whole thing. Very effective.
Yeah, some more than others. Like some people just get a little weird.
Yeah.
But ideally, you want them spinning, and they can't. And their thoughts are racing so quickly that they can't keep up.
Right.
Like the treadmill's moving faster than their feet. Right. That's the feeling you want them to have.
You guys have more resource than we do have on this show. We did a thing a couple of years ago. It started as a marching band wake up call. Where we brought a marching band into somebody's bedroom to wake them up in the morning.
And that's
then great. And then we turned it into a chainsaw wake-up call. And that was the one that kind of went sideways on us.
This kid.
Because this kid woke up swinging. I mean, like, just haymakers.
How old was this kid?
16?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 16, 18 years old. Just, you know, at that age where you never wake up happy. I don't know, anyway. But
so the chainsaws, how do you get away with that?
They're fake.
They're fake.
But they make the sound. They make the sound, and the smoke comes out. But this kid, I mean, went from dead sleep to Sonny Liston in a second.
Oh,
it was wild.
But that's exactly what you want, do you know? Yeah. Oh, is this it here that we're watching?
It's good for us.
Oh, yeah, that's him. That's him. Yeah. Rewind it just a little bit.
Look at that face. That's the face you want. You definitely want people.
Yeah, yeah, 17 says, years old.
Says victim, we're watching the video now. John, 17 years old. We have this guy in a face mask and everything. And
yeah,
he starts up the chainsaw. Here
But this is good. This is great. Yeah. This is great. This is great.
Yeah, which is, honestly, that's probably what you ought to do.
Yeah. He's throwing haymakers at a guy with a spiked face mask, by the way, which I'm just noticing.
What's the thing on, above his bed? What's the poster?
I don't know, Slayer or something like that.
Probably Hatebreed.
So this kid, though, this is how you find out who you really are in a situation like that. Fight or flee.
Yeah.
And this guy, this is perfect.
Our host, Fran, had to, like, calm him down.
For people who haven't seen this, like, this kid wakes up and he throat.
He's just going nuts.
And he's got some girth meat to on his too. Yeah, like, he could hurt someone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So who's in the mask?
We had some people from a local horror, attraction, haunted house, and so they were adept at doing this. But the kids, it's one of our favorite pieces of footage. This but scare tactics is that constantly.
This is better. Yeah. You're kidding me? That is beautiful. What I just watched now is the greatest thing. I've had the most wonderful morning.
That kid is throwing punch after punch.
Yeah.
He does not stop. That's great.
I woke up once in my house thinking there was someone in the place, and I ran swinging punches at nothing. A painting had fallen off the wall and hit the ground.
And you were swinging?
Painting. I was swinging at air, screaming, because I'd been watching NBC Dateline episode 2, and I thought, I guess my brain just went from an intruder. You must attack the intruder or you're dead. So, yeah.
Preston, you got to tell the shotgun.
Tell the story.
I was my wife and kids were out of town, so I'm home getting loaded, of course, and it was late at night, and I hear this thump down in the basement, and I'm like, oh, man, I thought somebody was in the house, so I go grab my shotgun, I load it, and I just make this announcement to the house, I'll give you 1 minute to get out of this house or I'm going to come in shooting, you know.
I love it.
And so I'm standing there drunk off my ass, holding a shotgun, loaded, ready to go. We had in the basement an automatic cat box, you know, a litter box that would clean itself.
Yes.
And apparently it had vibrated and knocked something off the wall. But I was ready. I was ready to take a life that night, John.
That, I love that.
But I was going to give him 1 minute to get out of the house.
And everything.
You just go down and, all right, cat box.
I should have done it just to feel satisfied.
But that is exactly what I was talking about. But that's even better. Like to yell out to the house. With a loaded gun?
Yeah.
I want to see you.
That is beautiful.
Well, listen, John Doerr is at Helium Comedy Club. Tonight there's a show at 8 o'clock. Friday and Saturday the shows are at 7. The late ones are, I'm sorry, those are sold out. There's a 10 o'clock show each night. And then Sunday at 8 o'clock. So you can get your tickets at heliumcomedy.com.
Yeah.
Do not miss them and get the tickets now before they sell out. Wait a minute.
What?
The guy in the mask from the chainsaw wake-up calls on
the phone. No!
And Pierre's on the line, too.
All right.
We got to do two things. Can you hang up for a minute, John?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hang on. Let me go to Tim. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. How's it going?
We haven't talked to you in years. How you doing, man?
It's been quite a while, man. How are you?
Good. So you were the guy wearing the mask with the chainsaw in that thing.
Yeah, I had the little gimp mask.
If I remember, and I we were concerned about you making sure, but you thought it was funny, if I recall correctly.
Oh, it was hilarious. Like doing at the Bates Motel when I would do that stuff in the hayride, I would get sipped and punched and stuff thrown at all the time. So you kind of get used to it. It comes with the territory.
But this kid threw about a good 8 punches at you. He was not letting up. It was too damn funny. You still do that?
I haven't done it in a couple of years, but I did it. I was the chainsaw guy there for almost 20 years. I did like 18 years, I think. With the chainsaw and the leather mask.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we're glad you recovered from your facial injuries.
Oh, yeah.
It ranks up there in one of our favorites. Wow. All right, cool. Well, Tim, sorry to keep this short, but it's good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you later. See ya. We'll repost that video so you guys can see it. All right, real quick, we got to check in our Caravan of Love. Casey, can I have some love music, please?
Yeah,
because Pierre Robert is going to a couple of different sites in our area, a couple of work sites, and spreading the love. He's got coffee. He's got donuts. Our friends at Dunkin' are, of course, facilitating this whole thing. Pierre Robert, are you there?
I am here with the lovely Dunkin' Donuts Valentine's Day Liquid Love Caravan of Love. And I'm here with two of the beautiful calendar girls. Tell me your name, my dearest.
My name is Gina Soraka.
And Gina, what month are you?
I am January.
Marvelous. A fine month to begin a year. Where's our Allison? Allison, what month are you, dear?
I'm June, and I'm also on the cover.
Wow.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, you got two of the best there, Pierre.
You guys have a cover, girl. Great day in the morning. Let me get my Dunkin' people. What is your name, Dunkin' helper?
Tara.
She's one of Santa's Dunkin's helpers. And what's your name, sir?
Joel.
Christmas. And you driving the big pink Dunkin' truck.
That's right.
And what flavors do we have for our people here?
Well, we've got original blend coffee. We've got our Girl Scout themed flavors, thin mint and coconut caramel as well.
Wow.
All right. I want to do a group survey. How many like regular? Okay. Apparently no one. How about the thin mint? How many like that flavor? I don't need hands. I need vocal, thin mint. And what was the other flavor?
Coconut caramel.
How many want coconut caramel?
Wow.
Well, we have a clear winner in Pierre's democracy. Now, let's move on to the next. What is your name, my dear?
Hetty Jane.
Hetty is the most beautiful specimen of humanity I could have possibly. You are like an oasis in the desert.
Thank you, because I was trying to figure out why didn't you think I was one of the calendar girls.
You're in my calendar, baby.
Well, that made my day.
Now, you wrote into Nick and asked us to come by. Tell us about this place.
Okay, we're a global medical device company.
I need a lot of global medical devices.
Okay. And a lot of us grew up in the area, and we listened to WMMR, and we all know you very well, and we love to listen, and I thought this would be a nice treat.
Well, is this a nice treat, my fellow citizen? That's good. And Hetty, I want to thank you. She has tie-dyed screens all over the place. She has all these greetings for President Steve and Pierre. So you've really done a nice job, and a beautiful tie-dye shirt you're wearing to welcome us.
Well, this just made my day and year. So I thank you and everybody.
Well, say
for
hi
coming.
To President Steve.
Hi, President
Steve.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing, Hetty?
How are you?
We're wonderful.
Where did you go to
school? Haverford, I'm a Delco girl.
Yes! Okay.
Sorry.
Go. I want everyone to say good morning, President Steve.
Good morning, President Steve.
I should have been a teacher.
Yeah.
Nice, Pierre.
One of those Montessori schools.
All right, so you're gonna make sure they're well caffeinated and well fed and all that while you're there, and then move on to another location, right?
That is correct. We have
going to Delco.
Apparently, I'm going to Delco.
You are going to Delco.
And he knows.
Where are we now? Where am I now? I don't even know where I am. What town is it?
Malvern.
We're in Malvern.
Yeah.
We're in Chesco, and we're going to Delco. We've got all these beautiful donuts, chocolate donuts, and love donuts, and heart donuts. And we also have Dunkin' Donuts gloves and hats and things and certificates. I mean, it is it's a feast. It's
You're
like
clearly overwhelmed. Yes, it's an amazing thing. But to hear that reaction, Pierre, means everything, because that's what the caravan's about.
It is a caravan of love. Isn't it love? That was really lame. I want everyone to say love. Now that was said with the true intensity of Woodstock.
Okay.
Of Woodstock, of course. Uh-huh.
The half and half might be better.
Pierre, enjoy the time there.
You people have proven something.
Jesus Christ. We will.
People can get together in Chester County and have donuts and nothing but donuts.
Mm-hmm. All right,
when the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. All right, we'll check back with you in a little bit, Pierre. Thank you.
Okay, night-night.
Night-night.
Jesus.
He's a
vaccine.
All right, he's spreading the coffee all over the Delaware Valley, so he'll head to another location in a little while. All right, now I'll officially wrap up with our friend John Dorf for being here this morning. You need some coffee? We can set you up, man.
Oh, Pierre's a good one. I like him.
He's a good man.
I like him a lot.
He's a good man. All right, so heliumcomedy.com to get the tickets. John Dorf, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Night-night, guys. Night-night.
John Dorf, night-night. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020. Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion.
Oh, wow. Disturbed. Show you the
love. Royal Blood.
I only lie when I love you.
The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome.
I don't practice Santeria.
The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing,
Puddle of Mud.
Crobot.
Dirty Honey.
Miss me when I'm gone.
Mongolian Metalheads. The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and the Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thank you very much, Cass. So our next guest is from Philly, and he's got a new series coming to Netflix on February 28th. It is called Restaurants on the Edge. He grew up as buddies with Kathy Romano.
That's right.
Yeah. And look at him now. Please welcome to our studio this morning, Nick Liberato.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing excellent.
No problem. Well, first of all, congratulations. The show is coming out. You got to be way excited for this to hit and see how it takes.
We're super pumped. It's been a long time coming. I mean, this has been a dream that's more or less been manifested over a lifetime, and it's now finally happening.
Now, the conceit of the show is that you head to these restaurants that are in these amazing locations, beautiful locations, but they need a little pick-me-up. They need some help, and then you kind of help do a makeover on them.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, we go around the world to underperforming restaurants that have beautiful views, because when a restaurant has a great view, they're usually banking on their tourists, you know, pretty much the environment, the location to fill the seats.
Yeah, and, you're right, yeah.
And we uplift it in a positive way, which a lot of these rescue shows, one I was on, Bar Rescue, which is an amazing show.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, but it's a little aggressive. Like, you could be better, you know? But,
right.
You know, it's just like, but a little demeaning sometimes, but like... This show's done in a very positive way and in a lot of different cultures.
I love that, because a lot of times you will go to these places. A lot of times these places will just skate by on the view.
Mm-hmm.
And the food will be substandard, or they'll be, it's like, man, I thought this would be better. You go in and so you try to incorporate, from what I'm understanding, the locale, the people, the traditions in the area, and sort of infuse the restaurant with that. And raise its game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, my restaurant in Venice Beach, which is called the Venice Whaler, was an underperforming restaurant at one time. It was a $3 million business when we took it over in 2014. And after spending time with focusing on the demographic, which is Venice Beach, the decor, the branding, the food, the cocktails, the service, you know, now it's almost a $10 million business. And it's now doing $4.5 million in food sales, where we were doing $300,000. That's a lot of scuttle.
It sure is.
Wait. I ate there.
You did?
Looking at the picture of it, the last time we were in California, I went there.
Yeah, the place is an institution that actually the Beach Boys.
This is when Nick and I met out in L.A. to go see with Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
We were just walking down Venice, and we wanted to get a place to eat.
Yep.
And I'm when you said that, I'm like, wait a minute, let me pull up a picture of this. And sure enough, that's where we had lunch.
You know, a lot of people that used to go there don't remember being there because they would drink a lot. It's kind of the place you would, like, end your night at. But it's become an institution. It used to be called the Crab Shell back in the day. And the Beach Boys, the Doors, the Beatles all used to eat there. And it was kind of considered the Rainbow Room of the West Side, or like the Roxy of the West Side.
Sorry to interrupt. I got excited when I saw it.
It almost looks a little bit like the place that they eat at... And I Love You, Man, if you know what I'm talking about. That's not the restaurant,
There's
is it?
Been a lot of things that have been filmed there.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a bit over the years.
So Beach Town's here. I'm always amazed at how they stay in business, because they're really just banking on, May to September, maybe October.
And then they go dark, you know, in between those times. I don't know how businesses like that stay afloat.
Well, we don't need to worry about that in California.
And that's it.
We got the sun shining every day. And, I mean, today it's like as cold as it'll possibly get and still rain, which feels like a cheap vodka hangover. You know, it's like...
Well, and even on your show, the places that you go to, I mean, these are beautiful, beyond like Jersey Shore case, beautiful locations.
Gorgeous locations, but still, when people lose touch with their environment, you know, they get really comfortable with the space they're in and thinking that's ultimately going to be driving the sales. But just like a lot of these shows we see where people open restaurants, it blows you away, like with no experience and just having a little bit of money, and they open the doors.
It's we're perpetually fascinated. We know a number of the celebrity chefs, and we're friends with them that come through the area. And it, to me, and we've always said this, it's show business. It's the same thing. It's that same sort of. You got to bring in the audience. You got to keep them happy. You have to raise the bar and improve the product and do everything. And it's the same mechanics that would say go into a successful show business career, go into what makes your career work. And also the chefs themselves have to be possessed of that capability.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in this business for a long time. I moved to California 20 years ago, and it's a constant evolution. Yeah, I think you always got to be better than the day before, but you know, we're dealing with Yelp reviews. We're dealing with so many people giving their opinions or their allergies and their restrictions. So it's constantly challenging to make someone happy in the restaurant business. But myself, speaking as a chef restaurateur,
right?
You know, my main goal is to create the best experience I could possibly create for the guest.
By the way, for those who don't know, Nick's catering business in California is called Caladelphia.
I'm a Filifornian.
You're a Filifornian.
Yeah.
Did you name it that as a nod to people who might pick up on that and go, man, I miss being on the East Coast. I should do that, you know?
Pretty much. Okay. And also, when you guys are in L.A., I actually ship Amoroso rolls out to the Venezuela, and we do proper cheesesteaks.
So what about people? There are a number of Adam McKay and other people out there and from the area. Have you made connections with the transplanted Philadelphians that are in the entertainment business?
You know, I actually used to cook for Will Smith at one point. So, yeah. I mean, you don't get better than that.
Right.
I meet a lot of people, and you meet immediately know once someone says you're from Philly or Boston or New York, you know, there's that East Coast bond that's unlike anywhere else.
Adam Goldberg, all those people are out there. Yeah, yep. Doing well.
You got to see when he comes home and he'll often go to our friend's house and he cooks in her kitchen. It's like, I think he thinks he's like at his restaurant kitchen. Her kitchen looks like a bomb went off. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does it. Even if it's just for friends, he does it right.
Yeah, and I'll just make myself a drink and just walk away. Mic drop.
So what's the most exotic location that in the series? Because we're all excited to see the series. Where you were just, the vista or whatever was just mind-boggling.
I'll be honest. You know what was gorgeous was, which is in our first season, is Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
We went to a little town called Tai O.
Wow.
And it was fishing village. And it was kind of like a stand on the side of the street in this little village. And it was just breathtaking. It was my first trip to Asia.
Yeah.
And I thought New York was big, but Hong Kong just dwarfed it. I mean, there were just elevators going up the side of the streets, how many Michelin star restaurants there were, and the population was just booming, and the different types of food and the culture was just, I was just so motivated and inspired. It was unbelievable.
How did this show come about? Somebody approached you? Did you have the idea? How was this pitch?
No, it was an idea that I had had, and I had approached some other people that are also executive producers on the show, and it stemmed from what we did at the Whaler, you know, ultimately, because it's a beachfront spot that was underperforming. I went in, I uplifted the entire spot over some time, and actually...
Yeah, that's great. Okay, you turned down around a restaurant. And you made it great.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're a great personality. A host can do a show,
right.
You know? So how did you work that
Well,
angle?
You know, I think it's just been a long time coming. I've worked on Top Chef Masters. I've worked on Bar Rescue. And sometimes chefs are introverts. You know, I'm a people person. I love to talk to people. All those years working for other chefs, I was always looking out in the dining room wanting to create experiences and, you know, rub shoulders with the guests. But I really enjoy, you know, making a positive impact in the media and on TV and stuff. And it's just been something that's come really natural to me. I have a lot of fun. But this outlet of being able to combine my two worlds of both working on TV and as a chef at restaurateur – it's been something that's worked out really well.
Do you find that, because for years you've been friends with Kathy, did you find that when you got away from her, you start to open up a bit, start to feel better about yourself and talk?
My friends like Kathy and others are just super colorful, like amazing people that are very outgoing. So I've always been, I was prom king.
I actually have a picture of you.
And was this the point in time where we say Kathy was Puerto Rican for a brief for a couple of years?
She was you were a cheerleader.
Yep.
Yeah, she was like running the whole cheerleading squad and stuff.
Wow.
And
who was prom queen?
That was Michelle Karam.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that picture.
What?
Wow.
What did you say?
I have a little bit less hair.
What did you say, Case?
Look at that bitch.
She's a very nice
girl. No, she wasn't.
She's
at all.
Sweetheart. Yeah. But we had a blast in high school.
I often tell some of our stories, and there's definitely been stories about you that have been told. I usually don't use names, so you're safe.
Oh, really?
Oh,
Nick,
wow.
Did you ever take a crack at Kath back in high school?
No, never.
We're going to ask her out or anything like that?
No, no.
Was she the sloth to your Goonies?
No, but you know what? There's a few people that, like, I mean, I think that's why we're still friends. And our friend Elisa, you guys know, Queen B, Nick, that's one of Nick's best friends as well. And no, he never took a crack at us, which is why we're all still friends.
Yeah. When you have a friend... like that, or like, I used to have most of my best friends were women, you know, and that sort of dynamic can be great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I never was pushy like that. And I just had such a close click, like Kathy and Elisa in high school. And we just had so much fun.
So much fun.
I mean, it was like Dazed and Confused almost. Like, our senior prank, I remember, didn't we camp out?
Yeah, on the front lawn of the school.
Yes.
You camped?
Yeah, just epic. Oh, yeah. We blocked the parking lot and,
There were tents there. Yeah. I just stayed awake.
Yes.
Now, Kathy told us that in school she was the one that was selling the drugs mostly. So good memories. It's good to come back here. You're here for a while, right? A little bit?
I'm here for a little bit doing a bunch of press between here and New York City.
Have you entertained the notion? Well, you know, the city is now coming to its own as a foodies location, and it's on the hierarchy of restaurants and restaurateurs.
Oh, he's coming back.
I'd just like to say how impressed I am with Philadelphia and the moves that the restaurateurs have made over here in the past 20 years. And it's definitely on my radar. I'm really looking forward to opening up a business here sometime soon.
Excellent. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, we're going to watch the series, and it's called Restaurants on the Edge. Available on Netflix on the 28th. We'll remind you of that. Kathy will make sure that we know, and we'll make sure we mention that when time comes around, Nick. But in the meantime, congrats. Always nice to see somebody doing some high-profile, cool stuff out of this area.
Thank you so much.
Wish you the best.
Yeah, I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Excellent. Yeah. You
bet. Nick Liberato, guys. Yay! Let's hear it for him. Nice job. All right, before we break, I'm going to ask the question that we have from Dr. Oz to give away the $500 Amex gift card. So the question that I have for you is, on yesterday's show, Elizabeth Smart spoke to Dr. Oz about a new initiative she started for girls and women so they are less likely to be victims. What is the name of that program? And we'll take caller number 12. We'll start there and see if you can get it right.
Okay. I watched this yesterday, Preston.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. Elizabeth Smart was on Dr. Oz. She says, started a program for girls and women so they are less likely to be victims. What's the name of that program? 215-263-WMMR. We'll find out when we get back. We have another guest. We're going to check in with Pierre as the caravan of love continues with Duncan and more. Also, the Gina and Allison from our Totally Office calendar with Pierre. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Also, as I sit here and sip my Dunkachino, I will remind you that Pierre Aubert is out on location, and he's headed to the next stop on the Dunkin' Spread the Love caravan. He's headed to Havertown, I think. Is that where he's headed?
Yeah.
Haverford. Sorry.
We're like the generals in a battle, and he's the foot soldier out there in the trenches.
He's getting out there and just tearing it up
tearing
on the streets.
Making a change.
So we'll check in with him in a little while, but first we have to get a winner from the Dr. Oz contest. So yesterday, Elizabeth Smart spoke to Dr. Oz about new initiatives she started for girls and women so they are less likely to be victims.
What is the name of this program? That is the question. We have Amy, who is caller number 12, which is where we're starting. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. So what's the name of the initiative that Elizabeth Smart started?
The Smart Defense.
The Smart Defense is correct. Yeah! You got it right, Amy. And since you did get that, we have a $500 Amex gift card for you.
So excited.
All right, hang on the line. We'll get your information, and we will take care of you. And all you need to do is watch Dr. Oz today. We'll have a question about tomorrow, and you can get a daily dose of Dr. Oz each day. Health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, celebrity interviews. Watch Dr. Oz Show weekdays, 2 o'clock on Fox 29. On the show today, lewd photos, revenge porn, and the end of privacy.
Sounds pretty funny.
Let's see what question we will have for you tomorrow concerning Dr. Oz. All right, our next guest comes to us in our studio because we got a text the other day on Monday after the Oscars saying, would you please congratulate Colleen Grogan? She won an Oscar last night, and she's from Phoenixville. So we did, and then we started to find out more about her. And she is the vice president of an indie production company called Hot Snakes Media and won an Oscar for Best Documentary Short Subject. It's called Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone If You're a Girl. So welcome, Colleen Grogan.
Hey, I'm psyched.
To the show this morning. Congratulations.
Thanks so much. I'm psyched.
Wow, you got to be.
Yeah.
And, wow, the Oscar looks totally different than I remember.
Looks like an Emmy.
Oh, you brought an Emmy with you this morning.
Well, as an executive producer on the film, I didn't get the actual trophy. So when Nick called me, I said, I hope that's okay because I don't have a prop to bring, but I did win an Emmy 10 years ago.
So are you listed as a winner or because an executive producer, they're the financing, correct?
Yeah.
They're the ones that help put it together, and then you have the producer who's the actual overseeing the execution of the deal and then so on and so forth.
Right.
So so what was your involvement in this documentary, which is just not only won the Academy Award, it's won the BAFTA. You were, what else?
Tribeca.
It's just...
International Documentary Award.
Just killing it.
Quite impressive and exciting, especially for me, because thanks for asking, Steve. As an EP, I worked at A&E Networks. I was at Lifetime at the time.
Right.
It was in 2015. I'll go as fast as I can. We had a speaker come in and talk about Skatistan, which is the organization that we feature in the film. And we originally looked at it, obviously, because it's about young girls skateboarding for Lifetime as a series. Wouldn't work. It's
right.
Afghanistan. So Molly Thompson, who heads up A&E Indie Film, was a colleague of mine. I said, let's talk to Molly and see if this could be a film. So then Molly came along, and she is a powerhouse filmmaker. I mean, Jesus Camp, Life Animated. Last year, she did The Clinton Affair on A&E, like massive.
Wow.
Big, big winner. She's been Oscar nominated before, Emmy winning, Cartel Land. She did
A&E. Cartel Land's fantastic. Yeah.
I do remember there was one of the earliest ones was called Murder Ball.
Yes.
Amazing film. And
so Jesus, that's all her.
That's all Molly. She's my ride or die. She's from Trenton, also an MMR fan. So she came along and put together the team. So the winners, the people who got the trophies, an amazing director named Carol Deisinger and a producer named Elena. And Carol had worked in Afghanistan for 15 years on various films. So Molly called her up and we just...
You hit it and off and running.
And, you know,
from that particular notion of doing a movie to you at the auditorium for the Oscars, how long a time are we talking?
4 years.
Four years.
Yeah.
There's documentaries. I love documentaries. I love anything, you know. I can just sit and even something that I'm just peripherally interested in, you know, if it's done right. I'm watching, I'm totally engrossed with McMillions on an HBO right now. You know, anything that's presented the right way can be really engrossing. But it's such an arduous type of filmmaking because, you're showing, you've got to go collect the footage. You've got to go do the interview. You've got to do the whole thing and come up with the narrative. It's unlike anything. This is your first time doing something like this, right?
Yes, and it was a total education for me. I've done immersive documentaries, again, on the network side. So cushy, easy, much easier job. Not out in the field. My husband, I have to give him a plug because he was on Intervention too, but he was the guy making the show. So I always joke that I was so dumb and married him because I should have kept hiring him. But the people out there doing it, the patience they have, it was an education for me. It's the first film I've ever worked on. I obviously had one idea of what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought, honestly, it was going to be something more sad. And then our director was like, no, this is so hopeful. And these young girls are so fearless and just being able to move their bodies in a way they've never gotten to before and get an education.
Yeah.
Which they, these girls are from very poor neighborhoods and the risks they took to get the education.
It's very repressive.
Unbelievable. And their mothers and their fathers letting them go. You know, it was really about communities, you know, helping these kids get a future that they personally didn't get. So it was a much more hopeful and much happier film than I thought it would have been.
That's
so
cool. Yeah. Colleen, I watched it last night at Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if you're a girl, and it really is hopeful. It's really well done. It's about 40 minutes long. First of all, how can people watch it if they want to see it?
Well, the fastest way, thanks for asking, Nick, is to go to PrestonandSteve.com because we have links to the A&E TV app and A&ETV.com. You can stream it. I think this is an Xfinity town, so I think you just put in your Xfinity criteria and you can stream the film, and we'd love for you to do that. 40 minutes, best time you'll spend.
I really loved it for a number of reasons, but there's no host. There's no narrator. This is just the girls and the teachers telling their stories. A lot of it's in Afghan, so there's subtitles, but at the end of the movie and throughout it, what you realize is that they're just little girls. These are people that are in a terrible place in a lot of respects, but all they want to do is A, go to school, and B, skate. And to see the smiles on their faces, to see how hopeful they are, to see how encouraged they are, and then to see their mothers being encouraged by a potential for the next generation of women in Afghanistan to have a future that isn't just binded to the Taliban or being forced into marriage or things like that. It's really encouraging.
Yeah, that's what we were so excited about. And our filmmaker, Carol Deisinger, said that. She said she's worked on so many films in Afghanistan focusing on the men. But anytime she'd go into the homes and meet the women, she'd like, I want to tell a story about these women.
That's a story, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great one.
I never once thought about skateboarding being a culture in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And is it just very small and very concentrated, or is it pretty widespread?
Well, here's what's exciting about it. It's not at all. They didn't even know what it was. In 2007, when Oliver Perchevich, who started Skatistan, went there, he was just a skater married to an aid worker and gave a skateboard to some street kids who were selling tea. Boys first, and they started skating, and then the little girls were like, what are you doing? And because no one there had ever seen a skateboard, suddenly it became a girl's sport because they can't ride bikes, they can't fly kites, they can't do any of the sports the kids can do for various reasons having to do with skirts and straddling objects and whatnot, ridiculousness. But they now skate, and it's a girl's sport, and it's gotten bigger, but they have to do it inside. The boys can skate outside, the girls.
You know, the funny thing is, and it's always like, you know, it's to sort of paraphrase Jurassic Park, nature finds a way. People will find a way.
Yep.
They'll find a way. It'll get there. Mm-hmm. And through these things is where massive change occurs.
Yep.
It's an amazing thing. Now you as you said, you come from sort of some reality television background.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first show the matchmaking show?
Yes.
Explain. It was a matchmaker in Buffalo, and you chronicled this woman's success or lack thereof, correct?
Yes, sir, Steve. And thank you for bringing that up, because Confessions of a Matchmaker, Patty Novak, my sister Patty, you know, good Patties in my life. Patty Novak was a superstar. That was my favorite and first series. And we wanted to call it Tough Love, but we couldn't get the title. Later, VH1 had one called Tough Love, but she told it like it was, and she was way ahead of her time.
That's tough, honestly. Yeah. In the beginning days, you know, when a lot of the stuff was coming out, it was oh, my God, this is really cool. You picked, obviously, Buffalo because it's so tropical. And
exactly.
Were you there for the act? Were you there for the whole deal, working in Buffalo?
I wasn't there the whole time. Again, the cushy job of a network exec. But I did go out there for what's coming up now, the President's Day weekend.
Right.
The loneliest, saddest weekend for the singles in the coldest city in America.
Yeah.
And I went to a couple speed dating rounds, as filler, and I was single at the time. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't do very well. But I helped Patty to sort of do the show.
Wow.
And my Sharp Entertainment were the producers of that show, and Matt Sharp and Bob Larson, the funniest guys in the world. And they were just like, another sad, lonely night. But it was that, you know, those guys, again, they do God's work. Reality show producers, man, they do God's work.
So one of our former calendar girls, Brittany, is on Very Cavallari on E! And a lot of it is what they referred to it as massaged reality.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's done right, it can be engrossing. And I can see how that sort of dovetails with documentaries.
For sure.
So now you're in variety. You got this promotion to this company. Explain what your new path is going
to
be.
Because I was at A&E Networks for almost 20 years. I went from marketing to A&E to Lifetime, and then I had my son Leo. He's 20 months, and I took some time off, and and then decided to come back. And Hot Snakes is a company. They're out of they're Manhattan and Connecticut based. And I did a series with them called The Sisterhood Becoming Nuns. Proud Irish Catholic girl from Philly. I have two aunts that are Joe's, the St. Joe's nuns.
Yeah.
And Eric Evangelista, who owns the company, also has some nuns in his life. And we shot at Doc for Lifetime. I was on the Lifetime side then. But when I wanted to go sort of out to the freelance side, now I'm on the other side doing it. And man, whoa.
It's hard.
And we got a couple things in development we're really psyched about with my old friends at Lifetime and A&E. So I kind of went back home and sold some things.
So are you able to stay in this? I mean, live in Phoenixville and work and do this? Or
sadly, no. I had to, I went to Manhattan, and I love it there, but I love coming home every chance.
They call Phoenixville the sixth borough. I don't know if you're,
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Unofficially, Is this the company that did the show? It was a show called Breaking Amish?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. I remember, and that's where the kids are on Rumspringa, right?
Rumspringa, and then they follow them after. And they just, we got a new season of Return to Amish picked up. So that's kind of that's the gift that keeps giving over at TLC.
Basically, you're the one coming up with, what do we have next on the docket, right?
Well, am I allowed to talk about anything? Let's see. Well, I'm very excited because now we're doing nature docs with a guy named Forrest Galante. That's another big piece of Hot Snakes business. They do a show called Extinct or Alive.
Wow.
So I'm kind of still a student of some of this new stuff. I've been with them since September, so my stuff is still a little top secret.
All right.
It's going to be good.
That's very cool, though. Yeah. It's got to be exciting.
Where did you go to high school around here?
St. Pius X High School in Pottstown.
Yep.
It's now called something different.
Yeah, now it's Pope John Paul II.
Yes, there you go.
We talked about St. Pius. Was it them or was it Pope John Paul?
No, it was St. Pius.
The jerky?
It was a Slim Jim.
Slim Jim in the butt.
It was a buck thing. That's another documentary series.
Yeah, exactly.
Food we've had in our butt. But
there you go.
So what did you, how did you get into this business?
Well, I started it at, over at KYW, I was an intern in the creative services department when it was Channel 3.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I went to an ad agency called Smash in Boston, where I wrote and produced promos and ads for TV networks, Sesame Street, VH1, A&E among them. And then A&E hired me to come to New York in their promo department. Then a woman named Nancy Dubuque, who ran nonfiction, needed an executive to work on intervention, and I was working on their promo campaign, and I guess she liked my stuff and said, hey, you want to work on the show? And
that's
bum,
so awesome.
Bum, 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 and the rest of the...
See, started with an internship.
Well,
where'd you do your undergrad?
I went to Immaculata.
Okay.
It was called Immaculata College at the time. Now Immaculata University. I was an English major. Go English majors. Woohoo.
So, quick question about the Oscars. I have to ask quickly, make sure we get it in here. Mm-hmm. You're up in the nosebleed section, but did you encounter anybody coming in with any celebrities?
I did.
Any shoulder rubbing?
My bigger rubs happened at the Vanity Fair party.
Ah.
I had a lovely conversation with Mr. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Very nice guy. My daughter loves him.
And we talked to Ronan Farrow, and I congratulated, I'm going to ruin his name, but Tiki Wakiki from...
Matiti.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the Jojo Rabbit and
best
Thor
film.
Ragnarok and What We Do in the Dark.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's
so
a lovely man.
Ronan Farrow would be a great, because I just finished Catch and Kill, the book, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So he's somebody who can generate a lot of documentary stuff. That's really cool. So the Emmy is for what?
Emmy's for intervention. So when you talk about massaged reality, this is like the polar opposite.
Right.
So my world is less massaged. But we won this one in 2009. So I got to get in another one. It's getting a little, but so proud of this one.
It's
my first show.
I think
it's
the most badass. It's the most badass looking award.
Yourself. I carried it around in a baby Bjorn when I first got it and jabbed myself with it quite a few times. The Oscar, I have to say, is a little jazzier. No offense to the Emmy.
Really? Okay.
But it's heavier. It's dense, and it's easier to hold, and it's not as pointy.
I hear you.
So that's a good thing to aspire to get one.
So you will not get a statue ever for
Oscar?
Do you get a plaque or anything like that?
No, see, they should get a certificate. No,
something.
I just get to say, this is how I get to say it. I was executive producer of an Oscar-winning film.
Okay.
Which I'm quite proud to say.
What if we were to set you up with a $100 Dunkin' Donuts gift card?
I was going to say, that girl with the question, maybe smart question, got $500.
Yeah.
I can get $500. I got a chocolate Oscar that I stole from someone's hotel room.
All right.
You didn't get a gift bag either, did you?
No. Did you hear how much they were going for those gift bags?
Oh, bananas.
$250,000 worth of merchandise in those gift bags.
Well, because God knows they need them.
Yeah.
I mean,
living check to check.
But maybe they could send some of that down to Afghanistan or one of the other. I mean, Skatistan's in other countries, I have to say. Skatistan has schools in Africa and other developing nations. So maybe some of that swag they can trade in for. In-kind donations to Skatistan.
I love it.
Colleen, we knew about the fact that you didn't get it, so we got you a cookie cake from Acme.
Oh! Yeah. All right.
It says you rock on it.
Thank you.
Here
you
go. Ladies and gentlemen, winner of the cookie cake from Acme.
Awesome. Thank you.
Colleen Grogan.
All right. That is, listen, you can't eat the Oscar, baby. And this is nice. This is good-looking stuff. Thank you.
We'll have you hold both the Emmy and the cookie cake together for a photo op.
Can I tell you the grub machine from the 80s haunted my world? The morning zoo on my way to school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was afraid I was going to come here and you'd be like, no statue. Turn on some sound effects and put her in the grub machine. Jeez,
oh, man.
This is awesome. Oh, shit, my phone's ringing.
Well, are you, how long are you in town for?
Till noon. I have to get back.
Till noon.
Well, I have to get back and hit shows for my new bosses, and I'm doing something for VH1, and it's serious. Okay. It's going to be good.
Anytime you need our assistance, you know, we're right
here
for
you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. And I have to give a shout-out to OLA, my sister's school in Wayne, and my sister Patty, who sent this email and got me this fun love. So
awesome. Lady of Angels or?
No, or Lady of Assumption Academy.
Okay. All right.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, it was wonderful to meet you. We're nice so very you. Happy and
Thanks.
Proud that you're from this area and that you're doing so well. So
thanks
congratulations.
So much.
And seriously, take the 40 minutes to watch this movie because it'll move you. It's if you're a parent, if you're not, it's really well done. Steve, you love documentaries. You're going to love every second of this. It's heartwarming. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. Really, anything that any emotion that you feel while watching a movie, I think you'll get from this one.
Yay,
so I can't recommend it more highly.
Well
Thanks
done.
So much, Nick.
Congratulations.
All right,
guys.
For
best documentary.
PrestonSteve.com. Watch the movie.
Best documentary short subject is learning to skateboard in a war zone if you're a girl. Thank you, Colleen Grogan, guys.
Yay!
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay. Why is this? What?
We never did the bizarre file.
We'll have to come back
to that.
We're going to come back
we'll
and
come
do
back
the bizarre
to...
file in just a moment. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Mighty, mighty Boss Tones. The impression that I get on 93.3 WMMR, it's everything that rocks. So, let's see. We got a lot left to do.
There's a lot.
Yeah, we had skipped the bizarre file. We had Colleen Grogan in just a moment ago, who was she's an executive producer on a movie that won an Oscar over the weekend from Phoenixville. Very, very cool. Brought in her Emmy with her. So we skipped the bizarre file.
She mentioned something, by the way, we can't reveal, but that she's working on that we talked about. It's going to be really cool.
And we'll definitely have to talk to her again when that rolls around. All right, so you know what? We should do the bizarre file now, and then we still got to talk to Pierre. We got to do trash, news, less question, all this stuff. So let's get to it now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you by the Philadelphia Fishing Show at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. And February 21st through the 23rd, all things freshwater, saltwater, and fly. It's phillyfishingshow.com for more information. All right, just a couple things real quick. Have you been following this, these massive swarms of locusts?
It's insane.
Sweeping across much of East Africa. And they've reached... Oh, yeah, you don't have to care, Kathy.
Okay.
East Africa, they've reached Uganda and Tanzania. The United Nations has said threatening millions more people with hunger in an already fragile region. I mean, this is not technically a bizarre file story, but it's just wild how big of a problem this has become. Tanzania has detected swarms in its northern border areas close to Mount Kilimanjaro and hired three planes to spray pesticides, a tactic seen as the most effective means of countering the spread of the insects.
And I just bought a timeshare in Tanzania,
oh,
Preston.
Oh, man. That's
bad mistake.
Bad timing, Steve. But anyhow, they the outbreak in East Africa is the most serious in decades. It's already devastated crops across a swath of Kenya and Somalia. To give you one swarm in northeastern Kenya measured 60 kilometers long by 40 kilometers wide.
So here's what you do. You bring in those bats from Australia.
There you go.
Those millions of bats.
Even a small swarm of the insects can consume enough food for 35,000 people in one day. So it's pretty wild.
It's horrible.
It's almost biblical in proportion. Yeah. Let's see. Four people who survived a month adrift in the Pacific were recovering in the Solomon Islands Wednesday after an ordeal they claimed that claimed the lives of eight of their companions. The group from Papua New Guinea said that they survived by eating coconuts found floating in the sea and collected rainwater in a bowl during their 32 days adrift.
Oh, my God.
Wow. The group set off from Bougainville.
I don't like coconuts.
December 22nd.
I hate coconuts.
I don't like coconuts. Man.
December 22nd, intending to celebrate Christmas.
You have anything else?
In the Carteret Islands, about 62 miles away. But survivor Dominic Staley said that their small boat capsized. A number of the group drowned.
Ooh.
The rest managed to right the vessel, but there were further fatalities as they floated in the remote waters at the mercy of a powerful ocean current.
Toss coconut salad, fresh coconut milk, New England boiled coconut.
That would suck. But they managed to find them, and a few people did survive. But it's a harrowing tale. All right, one more quick story. I'm sorry to keep it so short, but we've got to do what we got to do. Wild animals are not pets. Colorado Parks and Wildlife shared a video on Twitter showing a woman luring a deer into her house.
What?
And feeding it human food. They say it's harmful to both people and wild animals to do such a thing.
How's that cappuccino?
And they've... He's sitting there at the table with his legs crossed, enjoying a cup.
It's frothy the way I like it.
And they've slapped her with a charge.
And this biscotti is wonderful.
That's impossible. They don't have fingers.
Of feeding big game wildlife.
You staple it to it.
An offense that carries a maximum fine of $100 per incident. So, you can't be doing that. Don't lure them into your house and feed them cappuccino.
For brunch.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. Let me see. You know what, real quick. Oh, man, that's a long one. I promise it's a shard out, and it's for today. Let's see.
How about you know who you are, and I'll hit the effect.
Yeah, congratulations. Here you go. Here's your shard out. Okay. No, this is, I'll do this quickly. It's from Kathleen Guzman. Wants a shard out to her husband, Daniel. They moved to Philly from Austin, Texas. Eventually, it took him a long time to come around on us, and eventually did, and now his life is all about the
really?
Preston and Steve show. Yes.
We're like an infection.
Yeah, she tells this really great story about, you know what did it?
What?
Apparently, it was the girl who had her butthole tattooed.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, feels so good.
That's the one. He couldn't stop laughing. She said, from that moment on, Daniel referred to you guys as his friends.
Okay.
And he is constantly quoting us and telling us all kind or telling her stuff that he hears on the show. She said, you guys are definitely at the top of his friends. We've been back
it
in.
It feels so good.
They moved back to Austin in 2015, and they still listen all the time.
I love it.
Yep. So, in fact, he listens all the damn time, she said.
Oh, good.
On the background during, giving kids baths, during car trips, in the shower, mowing the lawn. So, anyhow, can you please give your biggest fan a shout out for his birthday on March 13th?
What?
Oh, I thought man. It was February.
And here you're rushing
we
it
can't
in.
Do that.
Damn it.
We can't do that. It's too much.
You can't hit me up this early. Kathleen, but
well, here you go.
We're gonna do it. That's for your hubby. That's for Daniel. So happy birthday to you a month in advance. All right, now should we go to Pierre?
Yes,
you want right. to do
yes because this man has to get back here. He's done a favor for us.
What do you think, Case?
Yeah,
go ahead and do it. All right, so The Duncan Caravan. It's the Duncan Spread the Love Caravan with Pierre Robert on his final stop this morning. He's been going all over the listening area, and he's arrived in Haverford. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Love, Pierre Robert, yay, is with us. Hey, man.
I am Dr. Love, and I have arrived in beautiful Delco at Casey's YMCA. The village people will be along to perform in a moment, but in the meantime, they've got amazing programs. It's gigantic, and the nice lady who wrote to ask us to come out, tell us your name.
Lindsay DeFruccio.
Lindsay, and you live in this neighborhood?
I do. Born and raised in Delco.
Cool. Now, you tell us what this program is, because the YMCA is gigantic, and it's a great organization, but what is this specific part of it?
Child Watch is a huge part of the Y. Parents can come in, drop off their kids, they can work out, they can hang out, have a cup of coffee in the lobby, they can take their other siblings to whatever events they have going on in the Y, and just get a break. And
so cool.
Yeah.
So your idea was you wanted to treat all the babysitters, which is a portion of what's going on here, right?
Exactly. They all deserve, I mean, they deserve everything. They aww, deal with the parents, they deal with the crying kids, they deal with it all, and they love them, and they're awesome.
And you wanted me to become one of those babysitters.
I think you could.
What do you think about that? Yeah, we
kids,
got some,
the kids love you.
We got some kids here. Hi, what's your name?
Uncle.
Hi. Say hi, Uncle Pierre.
Hi.
Yeah, okay, good. I got a baby. They love me. What's your name?
My name is Heather Williams.
And do you work here?
I do. I'm a director here at the Y.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a great program. How many people work at the Y?
We have about 300, 400 employees.
Day in the morning.
Yeah.
And so this is just a sub part, but it's so great that people can work out or do any of the programs. And if they've got kids, have them taken care of.
Yes, absolutely. We love it. We love being able to take care of our community and the children so that they can come work out.
And cool. And you've been listening for a while at MMR, right?
I have been. I've been listening as long as I can remember. We listen to Alice's Restaurant every single year with this year. And it's amazing. I actually named my son Arlo.
Wow. So. Do you know I'm on 340 other days of the year? Thanksgiving.
I did know that, but that's the one day we never, ever miss.
That's the one day you're good.
It's good. What's your name?
Stephanie.
Hi, and what's your name?
Dylan.
Are you guys babysitters?
Oh, yes, yeah, we do.
Okay, are you a babysitter?
Yes, I am.
And do you have any trouble with the kids ever?
All the time.
Yep. I heard she's got a Bob Weir shirt on. How long have you been babysitting?
About 4 years.
And you've got two kids of your own.
I have four. I only have two with me right now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Four girls. What? Yep.
Honey, would you like some coffee? A cigarette?
Yeah.
Would you like
no.
All right. But she actually was, you were feeding this child Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
She loves it.
Well, there you go. It is delicious, and it's the coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And we're all out here in the parking lot in front of the YMCA with this liquid love, this warming caravan of Dunkin' Donuts liquid love. Is everybody happy?
Yeah.
Cool. So there you are, Preston and Steve. Unless there's questions you have for this assembled multitude, we will give them coffee and donuts and be on our way.
You did a great job today, Pierre.
Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful having you out there. And we want to thank Lindsay and Hetty and Denise, who are the ones that emailed in and wanted to be a part of the Duncan Spread the Love Caravan today. So I think you've made a lot of happy people today, Pierre.
We have done the best we could. It's one small step for man and one giant leap for Dunkin' Donuts and the President Steve program. One listener loyal at a time. You enjoying that donut, son? Yes, very nice.
Son.
He loves me. I ought to have a kid show. I really do.
You really should.
You should. In fact, Pierre, why don't you pick up a child right there and show them how comfortable you are.
Here, I'm going to. How about pick you up? There we go. Come on. Come to Uncle Pierre.
That's scary.
Yay. Yay. She's reaching for her mother. She doesn't like this at all.
She doesn't like this at all.
Get away.
He could be Captain Noah Weah.
Oh, my God.
I am.
And remember, I'm on more than Thanksgiving, okay? I'm going to listen every single day.
Yeah!
And thank you to Gina and Allison, our calendar girls, our cover girl. Oh, I miss
Gina
January
and Allison have been
there.
Great. The Dunkin' Donuts crew have been great. Our MM Army, we got Mike, and we've got Connor, who is here with us, doing a great, great job. Al's back with you guys, and we're heading back shortly to carry on the rest of my adventures. By the way, in case I don't make it back in time, 2 p.m., we've got an interview with Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day.
Awesome. Ooh, that's awesome. Awesome. All right, I'll make sure I hit that again in Music News. Excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool.
Wonderful. All right, thank you, Pierre. You've done good today, sir. All right.
On, you crazy kids.
All right, we'll see you in a little bit. Wow.
Good. Nobody does it like he does.
Nobody does it. Exactly. All right. So we're going to do today's lesson question. Hang on. Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Wait. I might have a legitimate birthday shard out for
you. Oh,
wow. Let's see. 44th birthday on February 13th. There you go. Okay. So, hey, Preston, you give my husband, Tom, a really juicy shard out for his 44th birthday, February 13th. We both listen to the show every day at work and are always texting each other throughout the morning about the funny things we hear and can relate to. Tom is an amazing husband and father to our two teenage girls. He deserves this shout out for putting up with all us girls in the house on a daily basis. I know it isn't easy sometimes. Even our dog is a female. Happy birthday, Tom, from all your girls. We love you. And that's from Lori Callison. So here you go. And I got that one right.
Well done.
Thank God.
And you got the one month ahead of time.
We're going to do a lesson question, and today we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show. And the question, we had a few of them to go to today, and I'll go with this. Manthi, who might go on a date with a bachelor in Kansas, puts the what in succulents? 215-263-WMMR. Manthi, who might go on a date with a bachelor in Kansas, puts the what in succulents. 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by New Jersey Transit Police Department, reminding you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity at 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJT. PD. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Rose McGowan calling out Natalie Portman, saying she is, quote, an actress who acts like a victim. Portman says she is very much a victim, reminding everyone she was in The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
Hey! Amber Rose firing back at critics of her large face tattoo that reads /, in honor of her children. Some are suggesting that eventually, after years of sagging, /, will reach her gash. And finally, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, setting a new record, spending $165 million to purchase a Beverly Hills estate. Bezos also purchased a family that had been living in the house and will put them in his human zoo.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. We'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Manthony, who might go on a date with a bachelor in Kansas, puts the what in succulents. And I am going to Maureen to see if she knows the answer. Hey there, Maureen.
Hi.
All right, Maureen.
Sucks.
Yeah, the suck. Yes, in succulents. Damn, you're good, Maureen. Hang on a second. We'll get your information. And we will give you a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show Friday through Sunday at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. For more information and discount tickets, go to PhillyHomeAndGardenShow.com. We're going to get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah. Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. For more information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. Foo Fighters have completed work on their 10th studio album, according to bandleader Dave Grohl. Grohl said that the material on the follow-up to 2017's Concrete and Gold spans his entire career. He said, we just finished making a record. Some of those songs, the best ones happen in 45 minutes. Then there's other songs. There's a riff on the new song, on the new record that I've been working on for 25 years. The first time I demoed it was in my basement in Seattle. So he's been hanging on to that for a while. And he also confirmed, I think this sounds great. He's working on a new documentary, and it will be focused on van touring.
Oh, I love that.
He said, I've and not like the van life. This is bands.
Yeah.
He said,
bands and vans.
I've interviewed everybody. The Beatles toured in a van. Guns N' Roses, Metallica, U2. Everybody has had a van. There's something about that time. You wear it like a badge. He said, the movie isn't much about really awesome van tour and anecdotes. It's more about the drive to do it. Why would anybody give up everything, quit their job, leave everything behind just to chase this dream with no guarantee you're ever going to make it? And you starve, you bleed, you're sick, you're pissed, you get taken to jail and in fights, but you always make it to the next gig. Everyone has the same story, and it's absolutely the key to success.
Do you think years and years and years ago, like Chopin and Beethoven, buggy tours?
Sure, they probably did buggy tours. Yep, I wouldn't doubt it. Grohl did not indicate when the album will arrive or what it was called, but 2020 also marks the 20th anniversary of Foo Fighters' self-titled debut. Papa Roach guitarist Jerry Horton will sit out of the band's European tour after breaking two fingers on his left hand.
Ow!
His temporary replacement for the Trek will be Anthony Esperance. Horton broke the news of his injury on social media on Wednesday. He shared an X-ray image of his left hand as well as a post-surgery photo of the stitches in his ring and pinky finger. So he's on the beach for a little while. David Lee Roth is currently out on the road in his element, serving as the opening act for Kiss. And during a chat, Diamond Dave slipped in a brief update on Eddie Van Halen. And by the way, there are plenty of David Lee Roth quotes in here.
Of course.
He said, what I do can be derailed by a whole lot of things. My closest, dearest colleague, Edward, has run up against a wall on turn three. He's not doing well. I've heard only what you've heard. I have not seen him in some time. So
this is about with esophageal?
Yeah, but it's still pretty vague.
Okay.
He moved on, though, describing himself in terms that far exceeded a simple rock frontman, explaining David Lee Roth is not a rock band. David Lee Roth is an attitude. David Lee Roth is an answer. What would Dave do? And that's not always so funny. I've seen young people join the Marines based on that. I know a couple of Marines who didn't come back. I know what their parents think. I know people who got married based on that.
And you ask me why I seek the company of chickens.
And I know a few who got divorced based on that. There are a lot of considerations, bittersweet. Mm-hmm. There's a little sea salt in the caramel, and I take it all seriously.
Right.
It has always been way more transcendent than simply music.
Uh-huh.
He went on to sing the praises of the band who hired him to warm up their audiences, meaning Kiss. He said, Kiss has transcended the bias of music the way Cirque du Soleil or Blue Man Group has.
Yes, exactly. Blue Man Group.
He said,
Jesus Christ.
He said, I myself would
recommend. He mentions the Wiggles, kill him.
That's David Lee Roth killed.
He said, I myself would recommend to them, if that, in fact, mm-hmm. this is the final tour, perhaps go right. Blue. He says, go Blue Man Group.
Right.
Why couldn't there be six variations of Kiss traveling on the continent? Because it includes so much more than the music.
Why couldn't there be a huge mallet in my hands right now?
He said, it begins with the music, but it extends into theater and, I'll say with respect, circus.
Mm-hmm.
Dave went on to say, for myself, I'm calling this the last tour unless it isn't. Once I throw in the shoes, though, I'm thinking of going Lassie. There will be five of me touring, and allegedly one of them will be a girl. You're going to have to come and see the shows.
Jesus Christ.
Several times.
The hell is he talking about?
Going Lassie?
Just all of them.
In other words, there were many dogs that were purportedly yeah. Lassie.
Okay.
But right. There were multiple.
It would be nice if they get one, a David Lee Roth they could sing.
Yeah. God, I'd love to have a dog in place of him.
Mm-hmm. You know, Casey Boy was wondering if it's ever okay to refer to yourself in the third person.
Nick thinks no.
Nick thinks no? Okay.
Yep. All right, and then one last thing. It was 50 years ago today that Black Sabbath released its self-titled debut album. The album, 50 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Sabbath.
It's disgusting is what it is.
The LP, which was issued in the UK first before arriving in the U.S. in June 1970, arguably set the tone, style, and template for what became modern heavy metal music. The heavy, crashing guitars, wailing vocals, thunderous rhythms, and eerie, occult-drenched lyrics would become influential to untold numbers of bands over the next five decades. Ozzy, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward, listen to this, recorded that album, Black Sabbath, in 12 hours.
Jesus.
In October 1969. How about that?
Unbelievable. And now they're all doing ads for bathtubs you can sit up in.
That album contains such classic metal tracks as The Wizard, NIB, and the song Black Sabbath. The band took its name from an old Boris Karloff horror movie.
Yes.
With Bill Ward saying, it's true that we were influenced by watching horror movies.
Black Sabbath is a great horror movie.
But he added that Sabbath's style matured into something that was almost waiting to arrive. Although a lot of established bands were playing loud rock then, what Sabbath did made it very different. Critics were not receptive to the album, with then-influential rock critic Lester Bangs calling the group unskilled laborers. Nevertheless, the record sold a million copies by the end of 1970. So they did pretty damn good.
Yeah. The legend was born, and many times... I forget who the artist was who issued a collection of some of their critical reviews over the years, and it was just kind of an indictment of criticism and critics in general.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I don't think of Black Sabbath in terms of 50 years.
I just don't. So. It was just yesterday.
Yeah, pretty wild. All right, and then one last thing. We have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Rush tribute band called Lotus Land.
They're very good.
Yeah, Saturday. July 18th at the Keswick Theater. They're solid.
They're like sea salt.
Tickets go on
caramel.
Chocolate.
Exactly. Like a push pop.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. via AXS.com. Caller number 8. We're going to give you a pair of tickets. 215-263.
Like Stretch Armstrong in the Noonday Sun.
Hang on. I have to wrap my mind around that for a moment.
I've been with David Lee Roth too long.
Yeah, so... call now if you want those tickets. Stretch Armstrong in the noonday sun.
His elasticity quotient skips up dramatically because of the heat.
Even farther, yeah. Yeah.
Your friend can be all the way across the yard holding one hand.
Yeah.
And there you are on the other side holding the other hand.
If you were to put him in the freezer and then try that.
The absolute opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
No stretchability at all.
I really thought you were being more poetic.
Thought about that.
Like Stretch Armstrong in the noonday sun.
No, he's being literal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for my new fragrance, chicken.
Chicken.
Gene Simmons for chicken. Fragrance like Stretch Armstrong in the noonday sun.
Chicken.
Like Twizzlers raining from the sky.
Caw.
Call of the mighty bird. Free range. It doesn't end there. A lightning flash. A caw. A nugget. Original or extra crispy. I have one chicken finger. And I think you know what it means.
So they comes in original recipe and crispy?
And crispy. Wow. The only fragrance that does.
Wow. All right. Gene Simmons. Chicken. I think we should take a break.
Yeah.
Get ready to come back and wrap up the program, which is exactly what we're going to do. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Highly suspect.
Ozzy Osbourne.
The Who, featuring Ashes to New.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Band is called Blue Stones. Song is called Shaking Off the Rust. What was that all about?
No. There's just a way of acknowledging Pierre's giving up his time this morning.
There was a ruckus going on here in the studio, and I was half-assed paying attention. I have no idea. Bill was going back and forth between you guys. What was that?
Bill was being Bill. Okay. That's the explanation.
Bill thought he heard Nick being snarky about something that Nick was legitimately offering. And I have a good snark meter, but he was legitimately offering something, so I
The one being snarky.
Yes.
And he blamed it on Nick.
But this is one of the rare times that it deflected away from Kathy and someone else called.
Yeah, normally Kathy gets yelled at for like something I say.
Yeah, so this was great. Nick got in trouble. So
the best.
God. He called me Mr. Snark.
He did.
Well,
It's Dr.
Trying to pull one over on
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, yeah. What did you say?
I said I'm going. I would like to fill out a card for Pierre. We have an Attaboy board in our kitchen, and I said I'm happy to do it.
So he had said to me, "Why don't you fill out a card for Pierre?" And I just immediately before he's finished his sentence said no. And then Nick
so
jumped
you're,
in.
So you're being sarcastic. You're
sarcastic,
joking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Nick jumped in.
And I said, I'm happy to do it. I organized this thing this morning, and Pierre did a great job. I would love to do it. And Bill, without missing a beat, goes, well, thanks a lot, Mr. Snark. And I was like, no, man. I was genuinely wanting to thank Pierre for giving up his time.
And I heard it. I'm like, it was completely legit the way it was said. And it was in one of those cases where bank shot off Kathy.
Yeah. Landed on me.
In the side pocket.
Jeez, Nick, I don't understand why you talk to him like that, man. He's your boss.
Yeah. That's Dr. Snark to you, mister.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
All right. Well, thanks, Pierre.
All right. Well, speaking of Pierre, he's on the line. He's on the phone
line. Hey, what?
We can do the letter of the day with him. I'll do our thank yous in a moment because I don't want to keep him too long. Hey, Pierre.
Good day, citizens.
Good day, sir. So you're going to help out with the letter of the day?
I am prepared to do that. We're actually the building is within sight, but I won't quite make it. So,
all right. Fair enough. Let me play the sounder thingy, and then we'll do it. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
I'm so glad you asked. O as in open.
Okay. Excellent. We got it, and we'll see you in just a moment, okay?
You will, and that's where you'll see me. And cool. We had a great time, by the way, before I forget to... The lady at our second stop told me that she's got a huge crush on Nick.
That is Hetty Jane Dorn.
I score big with the 67-year-old. So,
yeah.
Well, she actually said, "Does he like older women?" I said, "Very much so."
Absolutely,
so, that's awesome.
I'll set her up with Bill.
All right, and you have your interview with Billy Joe today at 2 o'clock, correct?
That is correct. We'll talk about the new record, and I've got a great piece played for him that he loved. So it's a really special moment. It actually moved him a great deal, so we're going to have that as part of the interview. We got workforce blocks. Among the blocks, we will do a block. It was National DJ Day recently, and, of course, it was during Martin Luther King holiday, so we missed that. But we're going to do a block of DJ songs, among some other things, in the noon hour. So that plus Billy Joe Armstrong, plus a great time with our wonderful crew, Al and Mike, and our lovely calendar girls. You're beautiful girls.
Thank you.
Tell us who you are and which calendar you're on. I mean, which month of day you are, whatever it is.
I'm Allison. I'm Miss June, and I'm also the cover.
That's right.
I'm Gina, and I'm Miss January.
And there you have it. So they are always a month for me, and they are petunias of a special flower.
Exactly. All right. We'll see you in a moment, Pierre. Thanks, man.
You still owe me big time.
Okay.
We do.
Always. Thank you, bud. All right. By the way, the prize we're giving away, $500 Steven Singer gift card, and you can get one of Steven Singer's popular fully dipped classic gold roses for Valentine's Day, starting at just $69, or my copy always said $59, so whatever, figure it out. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com. I want to thank our guest today. Thank you to John Doerr. He is one funny guy. I love his style. He's great. Thank you to Nick Liberato. Restaurants on the Edge, Netflix 6-episode season premieres February 28th. It's local. Make sure you support him. Check that out. And also thank you to, speaking of local, Colleen Grogan from Phoenixville, won an Oscar.
She's awesome.
Has an Emmy and that won a BAFTA. The movie is Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if you're a girl. She was really cool. Yeah. And I think that is, and thank you to Duncan, and thank you to Gina and Allison and everybody on board for that whole thing. So, wonderful, fun day today. And thank you also to the Duncan Caravan people who emailed in, Denise Rudman, Hetty Jane Dorn, and Lindsay Dufrescio. We appreciate you guys. Let me see. I got to thank sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by the Philly Pops, Phil Collins, and the Music of Genesis. It's March 6th through the 8th. Tomorrow on our program... It's Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
And we are going to have two people. We have two people that signed up to do this who are going to come in. Adults, never kissed anyone in their life.
Yeah.
And we're gonna break that seal, and we're gonna start a new life for them tomorrow. We have our own professional kissers who will be here to kiss them tomorrow morning. It'll be a magical moment.
I think we have all sorts of things in place for safety purposes. I think we have certified dental hygienist, Case, correct?
No, we do not.
Oh, we do not. All right.
But we'll make sure they have a wonderful fresh breath.
We'll bring toothpaste.
We also have Paul Mercurio stopping by the
Paul's
studio.
Paul's great, yeah.
So that'll be cool. It'll be a great way to wrap up the week. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
The route number is 95. The speed limit is 55. Not the other way around, you jerks. Slow down before you kill somebody.
Next message.
Well, since we're learning about days of the week, I figured I would bring everybody's attention Thursday. Thursday is actually Thursday. And it makes sense because with the accent, it probably sounds like Thur. So, Thur, the god of thunder, Thur. So happy Thursday.
Next message.
To the asshole in the white Jeep that beeped at me. And I had the right of way to you to New Jersey, because that's where I was. Learn how to drive, you yellow license plated.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.